Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Zip time. Is it possible you can forget how to sleep?
Yes, I'm going.
Like, you know, you knew how to do it because you'd lay down and you go to sleep, and then you forget how to do it. Is that possible?
Something about this week.
I slept 90 minutes last night.
Ugh.
Was it because of the Bulls trade?
You're such a big Justin Holiday fan.
Hold on, let me write this down. Nope.
TMJ?
No, it's bothering me, but no. Just wide freaking awake.
Did you have your mouthpiece in like you're supposed
no.
to?
No, but the TMJ thing didn't keep me awake. I was just awake. I mean, if anybody needed anything done at 2 this morning, I was right there for you. Watched a bunch of stupid movies I wouldn't have seen otherwise.
So you don't even try. At that point, the TV's on and you're on your way out.
Yeah, well, I could sleep with the TV on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But apparently not last night.
Yeah. No, it was the night before. I slept like a rock last night, but the night before, I was like, wow, this is scary.
Well, normally when I don't sleep, I don't know about you, but normally when I don't sleep, I'm more entertaining. Because I'm punchy.
Right.
Oh, this will be a good day then.
But I don't know that that's true. So I'm just saying, watch me. Watch me. I could wander off in the woods today.
There is a patch of woods right down by the river here, so we know to find this.
Yeah, so you'll have some semblance of an idea. Hey, look who's back. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
I've
Justin,
missed you.
Mary,
I missed you.
Mary.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Joe. Thank you.
Dave, I missed you.
Steve?
Dave, I missed you.
Thank you,
I can't speak for these people.
I appreciate that. I missed you guys. I missed you.
Thanks for getting a Northwestern win.
Did my best.
I was on stage New Year's Eve. I don't know if you know, that's when you were in San Diego.
Yes.
And it's 20-3, and I'm going, what? Mm-hmm. I got to go out and announce this score to this crowd? And it was an angry mob. They didn't rush the stage. They had faith. And the next time I looked, I thought, well, there's something wrong with my phone. I started shaking my phone. I said, this score can't be right. 28 points in the third quarter. Have you seen anything
it's
like
crazy.
It?
Crazy. Not quite.
He hasn't. That's why it's the greatest quarter in Northwestern history.
It was I would have to say it was. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But that's kind of the way they've been all year. They find ways to get wins when things are not looking good. And it was a great night. It was a lot of fun.
And we found out that Coach Fitz is not going to Green Bay. We're thrilled about that. However, Super Joe was just hired by the Packers to be their head coach.
Really?
All right, see you guys.
I'd love to see that.
See, I thought he'd go to Michigan. Joe, that is.
Yeah, well, they didn't have an opening.
You look so good in that green and yellow parka.
Plus, I would tank.
Oh, you'd be a tank
yeah.
coach? Yeah.
So you'd go up and just make things worse for them?
Yep.
Oh, that's a good bet. Early prediction, Dave, for the Bears?
I think the Bears are going to win. I think they could pull away in this game. I mean, I just think that it just sets up so nicely for them. They've been so good at home. I hadn't really figured out the score yet, but I will by the time we have Hamp on.
With our amazing predictions?
I'm going to go 14-14 tie.
Did we do fantasy this week, by the way?
No, you're still
waiting. We've done that for a couple of weeks.
Fantasy?
We're done. Wait, we got to get to the top six, so we can't talk fantasy.
I said we would wait until after the holidays, and we crank it back up. You're still leading.
Okay.
Today, is Pete in there?
He is here, yeah. Okay. And you can call me Coach, by the way.
Sorry, Coach.
Super Coach.
We got to get Pete in a different position somehow. That window is like 45 feet wide, and I never know if he's here.
That's
on purpose. That may or may not be intentional.
Yeah, he's hiding from us.
Did he hide from you at night?
He didn't. We were in the old studio, so it was really hard to hide.
Okay.
Although he was for so many times he was under the table. I don't know what he's doing down there.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, Pete, we need some sort of system where we can pick players from, I guess the wild card weekend, and it's going to shrink, obviously, so the pool of players is going to be smaller. So I don't know if you want to adjust the system. But anyway, we got to make our picks in a very quick fashion off the air.
Thank you.
Today.
Thank you.
Let's get to Stu, the top six at six. The what?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium.
Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel.
It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man.
Well, the big story, of course, is Alderman Ed Burke getting caught, apparently. He says no. He says he will clearly defend himself, but very careful wording by the alderman and also his attorney that made it sound like, yeah, they may have something, but it's not what it sounds like.
Well, there's two things, right? There's the one, which is, of course, the campaign contributions to try and, to, if you want to do business, you got to give campaign contributions, in this case, to Tony Preckwinkle, Cook County Board President. But that one seems to be normal. The second thing, which is so important, and I think a lot of people know this about Alderman Ed Burke, have heard rumors that, you know, he does city work on private time, meaning he has a private law firm that does a lot of work with people that are also do work with the city. And there's a question about conflict of interest. This is Mike Madigan, too, as well. And the question here is, and this is what they have him on tape, is someone want to do renovations to a Burger King in his ward? And he said, yeah, but if you do that, you need to use my real estate tax firm to do the real estate legal work. And that's that. I mean,
the question is, are the dominoes going to fall now for other people?
I've been covering Chicago politics for 25 years. That was one of the first stories we did. It was that conflict of interest that he had. Everybody knows about that conflict of interest. And this is just, maybe he's just getting older and he's like, I can use cell phones now. I got a new cell phone.
Or maybe he's getting older.
Before, but
maybe he's getting older and he didn't know that he was stepping in it. You know, maybe he didn't. Maybe he just thought, if I wasn't on my giant landline from a 30s detective movie.
Right. That's exactly it.
I love seeing Burger King in all the headlines, though, because it makes it sound like there's a Whopper involved.
In this case, there is.
And it's this, what a notorious Burger King. It's the same Burger King that Laquan McDonald was shot in front of.
Oh, jeez.
Isn't that the one that had the security video that was erased?
Yep. Is there a more famous or infamous Burger King in Chicago?
Absolutely not. Next. Democrats voted in the shutdown yesterday, but wait, it's not over yet. As of this morning, El Presidente, Donald J. Trump, says quietly he's willing to discuss DACA and other things for a wall or some border fencing for maybe less than the $5 billion he asked for. Now, that was yesterday. By this morning, it may be a bazillion gazillion dollars, or it could be $12.50. It depends on what mood he's in. We'll keep an eye on the Twitter for you, and we'll go from there. Next. United Airlines bringing back what? Stroopwafels. What are Stroopwafels?
Those little wafer things that have caramel pressed between them and they're gooey in the middle. They're like I think they're a Danish cookie or a Dutch cookie. Yeah. They took them away about 6 months ago and people went crazy on social media.
They're not that good.
But they're one of those things. I think
at least it's unique. Right?
I think they're good because you're eating them on a plane
and there's
not a lot of good options. Right. And so they...
Well, United Airlines wants you to know they're back. Their decision to return Stroopwafels to the snack rotation. What rotation? There's a rotation? To the snack rotation. There's three boxes. They're all $10 or something.
No, but these are free.
These are the freebies.
The best of the free.
Twitter is thrilled. They also want to add Garrett's popcorn to the mix. If they do that, your average coach ticket will be $1,000.
Yeah, the problem with the Garrett's popcorn is people are going to have really messy fingers.
Oh, yeah, and those fingerprints are going to be on everything.
Yeah, that's not a smart idea, as much as I love Garrett's popcorn.
First flight of the day. Just want to fly early.
That's awful popcorn.
Hey, Stroopwafel popcorn, is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Wow, good for you.
They need to give out Clorox wipes so that we can clean everything before we sit down, you know?
Are you germaphobe?
Not really, but lately, just with all the stuff in a plane, you know, it's just
I carry
the tray.
On planes.
Yeah, I should too.
I wear the hazmat suits they had at the end of ET.
Yeah.
I wear those.
Don't kid yourself. No Clorox wipe is going to work on whatever's on those planes.
No.
Yeah, now there's so many dogs on the planes. It's you know, lots of.
There is legislation being put forward, and it may have already been passed. I should check, and I won't, but I'm saying I would have to, that cats and dogs are the only sort of support animals you could bring. You can't bring ferrets. You can't bring raccoons.
Remember the peacock?
You can't bring emus. You can't bring peacocks. You can't bring a llama. Even in first class, no llamas.
No guinea pigs.
No guinea pigs. No, nothing else.
Stress me out.
Hamsters. Next. Kevin Hart may actually host the Oscars. There's something going on here. Kevin Hart was on the Ellen Show yesterday, and they had a discussion about the old Kevin Hart versus the new Kevin Hart. Ellen's backing Kevin Hart big time, and Kevin Hart said, the immature stand-up comedian that tweeted that stuff out in 2008 is not who I am today, and I apologize. And by the way, he did. So the question is, do you accept his apology, and do you move on? And if you're the Academy, are you willing to risk whatever nastiness could come with that, if any? The internet, by the way, if you haven't noticed, it tends to be nasty at times. And Kevin Hart, as of yesterday, Ellen said, I called the Academy. Remember, she hosted a couple times. She said, I called the Academy and told them they need to reconsider having you as the host. But they weren't the ones that quit. He quit. He's the one that said he wasn't going to do it. So the interesting thing to me is this. I can't remember when they're normally naming a host. It feels to me like it's December, maybe even late November when you find out an Oscars host. There's been no urgency that we're aware of since Kevin Hart bailed to have a new host. This sort of feels like a stunt in some way.
Yeah, yeah. I would co-sign on that idea, that theory.
Yeah, and my question is this. Is there no one else out there that can host the Oscars besides Kevin Hart?
Well, that's why I'm surprised that there hasn't been some sort of announcement, because you would have think they would have panicked after the Kevin Hart thing and they would have hired, you know. I mean, Mankow's not available. He's doing this terrific new radio show. But, I mean, somebody.
I'm available.
No, you're coaching the Packers.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Packers stuff going on during that time. I can do it.
You gotta wear your green suit.
Your job with the Packers is going to take a lot of time, pal. Trust me. Next, we also have Alderman Ricardo Munoz in the news. And is it his wife or girlfriend?
I believe it's his wife.
His wife publicly speaking out to a couple of TV outlets last night on this alleged assault that occurred on New Year's Eve. Is he still planning on speaking today, to your knowledge?
I think so. He was in court yesterday, I believe it was, and it was a misdemeanor charge, but you still have to go in front of a judge. The obviously terrible, terrible news, and for an alderman, for a public official, he's not running again, so the question is whether he resigns or stays on. But the bigger, Ed Burke's federal arrest for extortion took Munoz off the front page of the paper for a second, so...
So he's got that going for him.
But I believe that he's going to speak at some point.
He's been married over 30 years. She said she's done.
Well, he's had a public bout with alcoholism, and she said in the press that he was drinking all day.
Yeah, there's no
condone the behavior. No, exactly. But I'm saying something that adds to the story.
Right, and there's an order of protection that's now been filed, so he has to stay away from her completely.
No, and I'm glad you said that, because there's a lot of drunks out there that don't punch their wives.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, you mentioned Ed Burke. I didn't mention this. Dan Burke, we couldn't figure out why he quit a week early. Well, I guess we know now, don't we? There's going to be something coming out later about my brother. I'm going to get out today.
Yeah, I don't want to have to answer the questions. I'm going to the piano bar.
And one more. Next. There is a new congresswoman from Michigan's 13th congressional district named Rashida Tlaib. Pronunciation may not be accurate. Apologize for that if I'm wrong. But in an interview yesterday, she said something which I don't think we need. You know, if you go along with the notion that you just got to stay above the fray, not get into the fray. She said, when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won. Bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in and impeach the mother effer. First off, I don't know if she said that to her kid, but secondarily, right? What a sweet moment between you and your
kid's
child.
Like, I got to call TMZ. This is crazy.
Yeah. This doesn't help. What's my point? This doesn't help.
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Ah, the texters, 312-981-7200. You're so entertaining. I like this one, 630. So the Dalai Lama can't fly first class anymore? No. No, I'm sorry. Let's go to Lou Manfredini. Good morning, my friend.
How are you, sir?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thanks for coming out to the New Year's Eve. Oh, sorry. You actually didn't make it to the New Year's Eve show.
I didn't.
Put you on the list for next year.
Naughty list.
Did you have a nice holiday break?
Had a great time. Really nice. Had everybody together, a big group of friends together on an annual thing we do for New Year's Eve. It was wonderful.
How many of the kids were you able to collect over the holidays?
Had them all. Even I have a daughter that lives out in California, and so she was her office was closed between Christmas and New Year, which is great, and she was able to be home for almost 10 days.
She's a really nice. She's a Hollywood big shot, right?
She's working in Hollywood. I would not call her a big shot.
She's
big
on the way shot. To being a big shot. That's what everybody's talking about. It. Everybody's saying it.
Yeah.
Carmen is standing by. Carmen is in Crystal Lake. What's your question for Lou, Carmen?
How you doing, guys? I just moved into a condo, and I've got a problem with one of the bathtubs. The spout where the water comes out leaks. Not all the time. Just once in a while, I'm laying in bed, and I can hear it drip, drip, drip about 10 times in the middle of the night. And then it stops.
That would be maddening.
It is really frustrating. I'm just curious. The handle, it's a one-handle knob. Mm-hmm. That spins counterclockwise to turn on, goes from cold to hot. When you turn it off, you have to crank it really hard, and I'm sure there's something either worn out or needs to be replaced. And I'm not really sure if it's something worn out and needs to be replaced. We'll have to have a plumber come in and get it done to stop the leaking.
It'll
eventually stop if I tighten the crap out of it, but I don't want to do that because it's eventually going to break.
Right. Right.
I know that.
Tighten the crap out of it is a technical term, Blue.
Right. That's a technical term, correct. Yeah.
That insert or that cartridge that's in there, that single lever faucet, is really easy to replace. And in a condo, the biggest issue is where you have a water shutoff to be able to do that without having to affect the rest of the building. Now, many times in a condo situation, that excussion, that large chrome round finished plate that's around the handle, when that comes off, there's two screws there that are actually stops, meaning that it'll shut the water off to the valve portion. And a plumber will come in, turn those things off without having to affect the rest of the building, take that insert out and put a new one in, and that's probably all it is. And, I mean, if you were going to do this yourself, it's probably a $20 to $25 repair. If you hire a plumber, you know, you're probably in the neighborhoods of $90 to $150 for something like this.
And then if I take that plate off, I'll be able to get to those screws myself without any special tools. It's just
we're going to have to order the special tools.
No. I mean,
That's a Seinfeld episode. Sorry.
No, I mean, here's the trick. If you're going to try doing this yourself, you're going to put a rag over the drain so you don't lose anything. You close the drain, put a rag over it. Then you'll take the handle off first, which is typically held in place by some Allen wrenches that you'll need a special Allen wrench to get that off. Then there'll be two Phillips screws that hold that plate on, and when you remove that, you'll see the body of the valve underneath that large plate, and there'll be a large hole. And if you see two standard screws on either side of the center portion, meaning that horizontally from the right and the left, those are valves, and you turn them a quarter of a turn. Don't crank on them like you do with the handle. And you just make them a quarter turn. Now that shuts the water off, and there's a retaining clip that holds that insert on. You pull that off. The insert you grab with a pair of pliers and pull directly straight towards you. Go to the hardware store, say, I need one of these, and then do everything I just said in backwards.
Okay, not a problem.
Does he have to do it backwards as well?
Next week I'll call you up and tell you how I need to fix more. That's all.
Perfect.
Carmen, don't hang up because I have for you an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. You can also play Yahtzee on that, I think.
Excellent.
From Candy Crush.
American Weathermakers, the 60-Minute Man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hold on, Carmen. Hold on.
My daughter's name is Carmen.
I know that.
Just talking about.
Yeah, she's that Hollywood big shot.
Yeah, right.
855-955-HVAC. We don't have time to get to all the texters, but several questions related to the umbrella topic of, Lou, it's a winter without snow or winter. Any special considerations for the home?
Try owning a couple hardware stores. It's great.
How are those shovels moving? Well?
You know who else didn't sleep last night?
Payroll.
Relax, payroll. Everybody gets paid today. You know, it's really, quite frankly, there's nothing to do right now. I mean, with your home, you know, those drafty parts of your house that you normally would know by now in January, you just don't know yet because it's not there. I mean, the biggest tip I'll tell people, and I have a daughter home from college right now. She goes, my room is so cold. I can't believe my room is so cold. Well, I go into her room. She likes to open her windows every now and then. If you don't lock your windows, they will leak air. So all of you in those cold rooms, you can't quite figure out why it's different this year. I bet the windows aren't all the way closed, and they're not locked.
Yeah, that's the seal that forms. Right, why do Lou and I have to explain all this every week, week after week?
Every Friday.
Over again.
You have big plans for TV in a few moments here?
We're going to talk about managing some of those devices you may have gotten over the holidays, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's a new tablet or a new smartphone, and some of the different options out there to charge them and make it more easy to use those things, because they seem like they're always in our hands, right?
Sure. I mean,
as you were up watching movies all night, mm-hmm. you probably had your phone in your hand,
slept
too.
For 90 minutes.
Right.
You got anything at Ace Hardware for that?
I could give you a little mineral spirits. That'll knock you out.
You're a mineral spirit. See you on the radio tomorrow.
Love you.
Yeah, love you back. That's Lou Manfredini, and he's brought to you by American Weather Makers, and we're back with your headlines next.
It's business time. It's business. It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh, it's business.
All right, 6:43 now. Justin's download, he started talking to business big shots, I don't know, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, about a year ago. It's a year and a half ago.
And so we moved this to the Steve Cochran Show here because you want to talk to more big shots.
Download in Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. And today we talk about the Bears bump. Is there any more difficult business to run than a bar restaurant in the city of Chicago, especially in downtown? And we get to these months, it becomes harder and harder if you're a sports bar. Because there isn't the football games, especially in Chicago, that can help you draw audience. Until this weekend, as the Bears play on Sunday. Joel Sorinsky is the owner of Theory Chicago, which is at 7 West Hubbard, State and Hubbard in Chicago, right there with a lot of competition. And I would assume a lot of joy that the Bears are back in the playoffs. Joel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Yes. Very, very thrilled to be a part of this conversation.
So for you as a
Joel
bar...
Joel sounds like he closed the bar down at 2:30 last night, 3:30.
If you're shooting a Hollywood film...
It was certainly about that time.
Yeah, if you're shooting a Hollywood movie about a bar owner, Joel is your lead. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Try to always have my radio voice ready to go.
Yeah. Joel, for you, how important is it that there's an extra incentive for fans to go to bars with the Bears in the playoffs?
It's very important. We have a drop-off, as you mentioned, really due to college football and most of the bowl games not being on Saturdays once December hits. And it's a great thing to have NFL games on Saturdays leading into the playoffs.
You know,
and then have the opportunity for these Bears games to happen.
For a Bears game, I think about this a lot. I mean, it's been such a drought, and you rarely think about what it means to small businesses and businesses around Chicago when they're not in the playoffs. For Sunday, you're obviously going to see a difference in clientele and people coming through your doors.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Everybody's getting back in the swing of things with people traveling for the holiday. It's a good thing for people to get together and start to have their normal Sundays back.
So, in regards to competition, since there's anything you could do with your life, you said, Mom, Dad, I really want to try to stress myself out for the next 30 or 40 years. How'd you get into the business?
It was a dream of mine when I was younger. I started DJing, and from DJing, I always saw the perspective of wanting to own and operate a bar, and that's how it all started.
And when did you know you're over the hurdle? Is it like restaurants? First year's the toughest?
First couple years were the toughest, but we try to do things different in Theory. We try to treat everybody like everybody's part of our family. We want everybody to feel like warm at Cheers. And we're just blessed with opportunities to build relationships over the years and for people from Chicago to know that they can always catch a game at our spot.
You know, Joel, I think of Theory, and it's right there on Hubbard Street, and a lot of Chicagoans know that area now. That, I mean, just per capita, per block, there are six or seven different establishments that are direct competition. How do you set yourself apart as a business when you have such, you know, competition literally and sharing a wall with you?
The first thing we do is we always respect our customers. And we try to build relationships with people, and we try to make people feel warm and welcome when they walk in the door. And the beautiful thing about our spot is that we have multiple TVs with multiple different viewing angles, so you can always catch more than one thing at one time.
You know, when you're running a bar, and I can't even imagine, because, you know, a lot of people say don't get into that business because of the overhead. I mean, you have to have a certain amount of people buying your product every single night for you to be able to get a, you know, make the bottom line. But when you're running a bar and you're, you know, you guys have been there almost a decade, what is the secret? What do you think is the most important thing that you need to do to have a successful bar?
Great question. Well, the thing is, you got to keep in mind that we're all serving the same products. It's just a matter of having a touch and making it unique and delivering something that people know that you're going to deliver it the same way consistently every time.
The DJ thing, when you decided, well, I want a little piece of the ownership, I don't know about you, but going from the talent side to the management side, and even in my case, just being around it, having to go to a few meetings, I found out the boss was a lot smarter than I thought he was, and it was a lot harder than it looked. Did you go through that as well?
I wish I would have stayed on the DJ side. I mean, you see what these DJs are doing now, you know, with the planes and the gigs in a different city every night. Yeah. The bar side doesn't give you that much joy.
All right, so are Eagles fans going to be let in as well?
Eagles fans will be allowed in. There won't be a lot of them, but they'll be allowed in.
Okay. They're brave.
They will be brave.
Joel, what do you have to do?
They will be devastated by the middle of the second quarter.
There you go.
What do you have to do? Because I can only imagine that 4 o'clock on Sunday on Hubbard Street is going to be a madhouse, meaning there'll be a lot of different people looking for choices on that street to partake in watching the Bears game. What do you have to do to get them in the door today or on Sunday?
Thankfully, not much. People will be eager to go out and watch the game and support the city and cheer their Bears on. Obviously, it's been a couple years since they've been primed for a playoff run. I think the city is really behind them, and should be a good day. Hoping that people want to come out for that Chargers-Ravens game to begin the day and just parlay that right into the Bears game.
You don't need to wait till 3:45. Yes.
You won't get a seat.
Yes, that's a very good point. Listen, thanks for coming on. Plug it. Again, where are you?
Hey, we're at 9 West Hubbard, Theory, Sports Den Lounge. We're a great place to check out. We do brunch on the weekends. Would love to have you in. I will be there, and I will be ready to give you a hug.
There you go. Joel Zerinsky.
Is that an incentive?
Founder of Theory Chicago, which is at 7 West Hubbard in downtown Chicago. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you. Hope you guys have a great day.
You as well.
There we go.
You're a customer of the Signature Bank.
I haven't
been
in there in a long time, but yeah.
You drink, but you're also a customer of Signature
that's
Bank.
That's right. That's right. I'm a customer at Signature Bank. Yeah. But the Theory is a great place because I'm always amazed, and Joel's done a good job there, but I'm always amazed because there's a lot of competition there. And it's kind of like an upscale sports place, lots of TVs and stuff.
The president's calling in just a matter of moments, but speaking of you being a customer, you have some words on that coming up here in a second as well?
Yeah.
Because we want to thank our partners, always, and Signature Bank is a great one. There we go, that's the phone. I gotta update my ringtone.
Oh, that's a good one. Standard.
Yeah, that's pretty normal.
Standard.
That's the factory. Maybe we don't take the call. Maybe we just listen to this.
Like a voicemail.
All right, I'll grab it. That's fine. Good morning, Mr. President. I assume this is you.
Good morning, Cochran. You know, very wise of you to pick up and have me back on to boost your ratings in the new year. Mm-hmm. I still can't believe it's already the end of the first week of 2019. I'm still writing Mueller Witch Hunt on my checks.
Happy New Year, sir. Did you have a nice New Year's in Washington?
I had a tremendous New Year's. I drank way too much Diet Coke out of my champagne flute. Mm-hmm. And right before midnight, I counted backwards from 10 before dropping a Big Mac into my mouth. Very exciting. I even made Mike Pence stick around so you could simulate a drum roll.
Did you need me to do it again, sir?
No, I'm all good, Mike. Thanks.
Are you a New Year's resolutions guy? Maybe drop a little weight? Maybe be nicer to people? Any of that?
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to completely not eat any red meat after 6 p.m., unless it's a Sunday or a holiday. Yeah, and this is also the year I'm finally going to stop going to the gym, because, frankly, I'm in tremendous shape.
Are you?
And I have one of the greatest sets of rock-hard, rounded washboard abs that anyone has ever seen.
I don't know about the rounded part. That's interesting.
People tell me all the time. I really do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm resoluting to do my best to provoke the fake news media once again this year, especially CNN's Jim Acosta. You remember Jim. He's CNN's best pretend reporter.
Yes.
Last time I just told him to be quiet and sit down. Next press conference, though, I'm probably going to try something stronger, like, come at me, bro. Maybe I'll even try it in his native Spanish. That'll be tremendous.
I don't think that's his native. Listen, so yesterday Nancy Pelosi became Speaker of the House again. Now, she is your chief rival in Congress. She said herself yesterday she's the most powerful woman in America. Comments, reaction?
Look, I will tell you, I have nothing but respect for Speaker Botox. No, seriously, I'd sincerely like to congratulate her. Bela Lugosi should be very proud of her achievement. And I just know we're going to get along great. We're going to get along great. A matter of fact, I told her that we would build the wall for half of what it cost to build her face.
He must not even own a mirror. All right, now about the wall. Is the wall going to get built? Are you going to make a deal with the Democrats?
Yes, absolutely. And everyone will know exactly when the deal's reached because you'll see a thick ring of smoke rise above the White House from a burned pair of Nancy Pelosi supporters. Just like the Vatican does it.
There's no tie at all.
Now, look, just for the record, Cochran,
yes.
I'm open to compromise. I can compromise. Look, I like to save money just like everybody. Maybe we could do a sliding door wall instead.
Oh,
you know, like the one on your patio.
Sure.
With a screen. Not only will it keep out illegal aliens, it'll also keep out mosquitoes and horseflies on those hot summer nights.
Not how it works.
Total win-win. It's a total win-win.
Not how it works at all. Today marks day 14 of the partial government shutdown. If 1 week from today, if this is still going on, we will tie the longest government shutdown on record.
Me.
I know you love the records.
Excuse me. Look, everybody's getting way too bent out of shape over all this. It's just a partial shutdown, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, national parks, museums, the Justice Department, all these non-essential places that we could probably do without anyway.
I don't know that that's true either.
And even if it takes another 14 days, we're going to get to the bottom of this shutdown nonsense, believe me. Then we'll have a huge grand reopening of the government.
Wow.
It'll be tremendous. We'll have gold confetti shooting out of Abe's chair at the Lincoln Memorial. We'll have marching bands, hot dogs, balloons for the kids. Now, when it happens, only the Democrats know for sure.
Now, what are your thoughts on Senator Elizabeth Warren getting into the race for 2020?
She's going to run for president? She can't even run from her ancestry DNA results. I mean, what was she, 2.3% Native American? I know Chinese people that have more Navajo in them, okay? Now, in all fairness, I think it's a tremendous idea. I think it's tremendous that Pocahontas may run for president. I'm not sure about her possible campaign slogan, though. Have you heard it?
I have not. What is it?
It's "Me make 'em America great again, Kemosabe."
That's not what it is.
I may have to sue her. Bigly copyright infringement. Believe me.
That's not true at all. Mr. President, Mitt Romney wrote a pretty mean op-ed about you in the Washington Post. What are you saying about that?
Okay, look, Grandpa Magic Underwear really needs to start keeping his big mouth shut. I mean, that old traitor's just a jealous, bitter loser who lost to Obama, who has such a horrible personality, too. I mean, he makes Mike Pence look like an exciting guy. No offense, Mike.
None taken, sir. Shall I finish matching up your socks, my liege?
Yes, Mike, thank you. No housekeepers to do laundry, you know, because of the shutdown, Cochran.
I gotta say, I think I really enjoy when Mike Pence is with you, and it seems like he's with you all the time. But anyway, I appreciate you calling in.
He's a good guy. It's a total kiss-ass.
Well, don't you want to say the thing you always say?
Later, loser.
Yeah, that's it.
There it
that's
is.
It. That's it.
I need that. I wait for that every week.
Later, loser. I think I just want to talk to Mike Pence next time.
I don't know, man. That's good.
He's sorting socks. He is busy. My liege.
If you don't stay on top of sorting socks, it really piles up. You like it takes quite a task. Yeah.
Attorney, talk show host, bon vivant, Rich Lenkov. He was in court yesterday when Ed Burke was there. He can talk to us about the Ed Burke story in just a second. The MVPP coming up. And Hamp on the Bears, all on the way on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, as you wake up, happy Friday, and know that it's not so happy for Ed Burke. Rich Lenkov, been on this radio station a million times, and he's somebody that most of you probably know, and a fine attorney in his own right, can talk to us about this story from a legal perspective. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for coming on.
Of course.
Thanks for having me, and an honor to follow the president, of course.
Yeah, well, we're all surprised. So, Rich, here's the thing. This is something that is not a shock. I think maybe everybody expected it could happen at some time, and then you get to a point where Ed's getting older and thinking, well, maybe it'll never happen. I'm not casting any sort of guilt on Mr. Burke. He's due his day in court. But there have been rumors about stuff like this forever.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's been, you know, the longest-serving city alderman. He's been in office for 50 years, and he's faced this in the past, as he noted when he was, you know, famously interviewed a few weeks ago after his office was raided. He said, you know, this is not my first rodeo, and I've cooperated in the past, and I will cooperate again. By the way, I'm not sure you can cooperate with the federal government when they come knocking, but that's a different story. But yeah, I think yesterday we all saw a little bit of a different turn when the government actually arrested him and charged him with this count of attempted extortion.
37-page criminal complaint, if I understand the charges correctly. It's 20 years at its worst if you're convicted. That's all a very big deal. But of the 37 pages, which I'm sure you've read like a fine novel, what jumped out at you?
The wiretaps, the conversations are always the key part of a government's case. When you're dealing with white-collar defendants, especially high-profile ones, it's a very difficult thing to prove unless you've got wiretaps, which, according to the complaint that I did read very carefully, they have lots of. You know, otherwise, if you don't have that or if you don't have a cooperating witness, you're often dealing with a he said, she said situation. But what jumped out at me from the complaint is the wealth of information that we received allegedly from these conversations that the government was recording for over a year.
Hey, Rich, it's very interesting to me because you will have a lot of politicians will talk about this pay to play or this concept of even being able to do private work and public time or public, you know, if you do work with the city, you got to do work with me as politics or the way it's been done. And this case is one that when you read it and you read the complaint, you recognize that this is something that's been done for years in Chicago. But at the same time, It is almost plain as day extortion.
It is, and Justin, when you read the complaint, you know, it does jump off the page. As much as we hear in Chicago that this happens and it happened for years, you know, much like the Barbara Bird Bennett conviction a couple years ago,
right,
when you actually saw her emailing you know, people asking for money and asking for money for her, you know, kids' college fund. When you see the conversations, allegedly in this case, where Burke is telling his staffer to play hardball and saying that I tried to be nice by taking them out to lunch, and now, you know, we're going to have to change that. It really still shocks you, even though I think in Chicago we're all pretty used to seeing this, you know, this kind of corruption. I think when you see it in writing, and, you know, particularly when you hear the tapes, which, you know, we're not hearing, but I'm sure it's even more glaring when you hear those tapes.
Rich, I know you were sitting right behind Ed in court yesterday. What was the body language or the reaction of him during that?
Yeah, Mary, I mean, I was right behind him. He was, you know, pretty subdued. I think generally he's a pretty calm character all the times I've seen him. Yesterday was a little different. I think he was definitely more somber than we've seen him. You know, in the few words he did say to Judge Finnegan, he wasn't very expressive. You know, this was basically a 10-minute hearing to make sure he understood the charges that were being filed. So naturally, it was a lot of yeses and nos. I think the biggest, you know, shocker that we all had in the courtroom was when we heard about his 23 guns in his two offices.
Yeah.
He's, of course, a former police officer, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah, I don't even understand that. I mean, I mean, a guy that high profile, even if he was, you know, a concealed carry for his own protection, and by the way, Ed Burke has protection that he travels with, I don't even understand that. Do you?
For sure, and especially someone as high profile as him and who has been the subject of investigations in the past, it's just not a great look. Regardless, you know, when the FBI comes knocking, it's not a great look to have 23 guns lying around, especially purportedly a few of them, at least five or six of them, were long guns. You know, I'm not sure why you would have those as a 75-year-old alderman, but it certainly doesn't look good. And of course, you know, as part of the charge is he had to get rid of those in 48 hours, which is pretty standard when you're charged with a felony.
The attorney that walked with him answered a couple of things before Ed spoke last night. Alderman Burke, sorry, spoke last night. And the attorney seemed to say, and I'm reading, you know, between the lines here, so certainly cut me off from a legal perspective, but seemed to say, yeah, the stuff in the criminal complaint happened, but it's not what it appears to be. Am I right or wrong?
Charles Sklarsky is the name of the attorney who's defending Alderman Burke, and on the way out of Dirksen yesterday, he said exactly that. He said that, you know, we look forward, of course, to our day in court, but he said that this act was not attempted extortion. My sense is that they are going to admit to what is painfully obvious from the tapes, but argue that this did not rise to the level of attempted extortion. I think based on what I've read, that's a hard case for the defense. You know, you've all heard that federal government, you know, the federal government, federal prosecutors have an incredibly high conviction rate, you know, upwards of like 96%. And the degree to which they laid out their case in this complaint, the evidence is pretty compelling. So
the FBI, pretty, the FBI doesn't go in unless they think they have something.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they have a lot of evidence against him, according to the complaint. And it's interesting the way they laid it out. You know, a complaint, of course, has a lot more detail than an indictment. I think there's a couple of reasons that you do a complaint versus an indictment. A representative from the prosecutor's office yesterday, we asked them outside the courtroom why they went the complaint route, and he said no comment at this point. But, you know, that gives the public a lot of information about what evidence they have. And frequently you do that as a government in order to show your hand and show how strong your case is in order to maybe flip a witness or even flip the defendant.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's next here? Is this going to be one of those cases in Chicago that you know, we don't actually get any sort of trial or anything for months on end, or is this going to be fast?
Well, so Justin, the prosecutor yesterday said in open court that the investigation is ongoing, and I think, you know, there are more shoes to drop here. The next time that Alderman Burke will be in court will be on January 18th. So we'll hear at that point whether, you know, what additional evidence the government has, and there'll be a probable cause hearing before a grand jury likely. But yeah, I mean, I think the investigation's ongoing. You know, many are looking at this as sort of small potatoes. Why are you going, you know, what is this the most the government can get after raiding, you know, two offices and after investigating him for a while? I think the answer to that is, A, there's probably more to come, and B, you know, the federal government, I think, would rather get a conviction where they can on a smaller case than, you know, try to get everything under the sun. Remember, I mean, we've got a new U.S., a relatively new U.S. attorney in office. He hasn't had many high-profile convictions, and there is pressure on them. We've had a lot of, you know, former federal prosecutors on our show, Legal Face-Off, and they'll tell you sort of the, you know, behind-the-scenes answer that it is important to get high-profile convictions, you know, for many reasons, not the least of which is the deterrent effect. You know, this is an office that convicted Blagojevich, and you've got, you know, competition in New York. I mean, in New York, in Brooklyn, they're trying El Chapo. You know, so there's a lot of pressure on these offices to get high-profile convictions.
It's awkward when you go to the big barbecue in the summertime if they've got a bigger case than you do. Talking with Rich Lingoff. By the way, get a plug-in for the show.
We're a Legal Face-Off. We've been, I think, the nation's premier, I'll be humble and say the premier legal podcast for about 5 years on WGN. I co-host with Tina Martini, and we're taping our show today covering this topic and, you know, lots of other interesting legal stories.
Hey, Rich, will you be right behind him again later on at the second court date?
I'm going to follow him around. I'm going to be literally, like, you know, a step behind him everywhere now so I can report back to you, not just on the substance, but on, you know, what he's wearing and what he smells like. And things like that.
And you're very stealth. You know, you really are. Two last things. I want to get to Steve in Schaumburg before we hang up here. But he knows everything that's gone on in this town, Alderman Ed Burke. I mean, there's not a political event that's happened in this town that Ed Burke is not aware of. Is it possible in the way these things go down that they would strike a deal with him for information on others?
Yeah, excellent question. question, Steve. No question, that is a possibility. And again, that's why you frequently see the degree to which the complaint lays out the evidence, because you want to put pressure on a defendant to understand that there's a mountain of evidence against you, and maybe you'll flip. I mean, the key to any, you know, in addition to wiretaps, one of the key things that you can get is a witness flipping, especially a high-profile defendant. We've all heard about his involvement with, you know, with Trump Tower. Maybe there's something there. Who knows? Maybe he flips and gives information that has a greater benefit in the Trump investigation. But, yeah, there's no question that you try to flip Burke on other potential crimes that are happening.
God, I'd love it if Trump went down because of something
but
here.
But you know, also, there's not much higher profile in Chicago than Alderman Ed Burke. You could say a mayor, maybe a Cook County Board President, but still the name Ed Burke is the highest
on paper. He's the second most powerful guy in the city. He runs the money. Steve is in Schaumburg. Last word from you, Steve.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Really quick, I'm wondering how this affects, not my original call is regarding how does it affect the Honorable Ann Burke on the Illinois Supreme Court, but also I know that Tony Preckwinkle's name was brought up as to where some of this money was supposed to go. How does that affect her run for mayor? Because I thought that she was leading in the polls to be mayor.
Rich, yeah,
there's an allegation in the complaint that there was a $10,000 donation that was solicited from these individuals as a campaign donation to Preckwinkle. She yesterday, of course, denied that and actually showed that she returned that donation, which ended up being about $5,600. But yeah, I mean, I think I saw Gary Chico last night and Lori Lightfoot already saying that, you know, the stink continues on to Preckwinkle.
Cluelessness and complicit both start with C and are closer together than you think, and you have to figure it out. All right, last question. The judge, Judge Burke, what's the problems for her this morning outside of worrying about her husband?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much of a, you know, a legal connection. Of course, you know, she's an independent judge. She just got sworn in. Oddly enough, she got sworn into a second 10-year term the day that her husband's office was raided by the FBI. I don't know if that was a coincidence or not, but, you know, she'll continue to serve on the Supreme Court. But certainly, you know, being married to a felon wouldn't help things very much. But, yeah, from a legal perspective, they're separate.
Rich, thanks, great timing on taping the show today.
Thank you very much.
See you later, Rich Linkoff. I feel badly about this. I've known Alderman Burke for a long time, and I like him. I don't have any, you know, close association with him. I never asked him to take a look at my property taxes, none of that. But just you see him out, you see him at public events, you see him at dinners, you see him in various places, and it's always been pleasant exchanges. But if he has done these things, he's got to take the hammer like anybody else.
In some of the reporting yesterday in the Tribune, you were reminded of Ed Burke's legacy in Chicago, being one of the staunch opponents of Harold Washington with Edward Doleac.
I would be very nervous this morning if I was a Chicago politician engaging in anything even remotely dirty.
He knows where all
the bodies are buried. He knows every single piece of evidence and story. All right, MVPP next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What would it be like if you could tell somebody you loved them every day of the year? You're saying, well, Steve, I already do that. I love my family, my wife, I love my husband, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, mom, dad, whatever. Jen Kramer took an extra step in this task. And good morning, Jen. You are the most valuable person on the planet for Friday, January 4th.
Good morning.
And congratulations on this highly coveted award.
I'm completely honored.
So tell me about this project, if you will. And I don't know that project's the right word for it.
I think it was definitely a project. It started as a New Year's resolution last January 1st. I'm not much of a resolution gal, and I had read an article that said, why don't you take on something that would make a difference for other people? And I thought, I can get behind that. And I started on January 1st with my aunt, and I, you know, truthfully, I didn't think I would make it. I'm not somebody who I could rely on to do something every day for 365 days, but as the momentum grew and I started featuring people that I had just met or people in my life that I saw a lot of times, like my dry cleaner, I realized I was really onto something. And 365 days later, I learned a lot. And I think a lot of other people learned a lot in the process.
Yeah, posting a note every day on love and that you love somebody. My first question would have been, all right, do I love 365 people? but it doesn't have to be somebody that you have intimacy with or all that close with. It could be somebody, like you said, your dry cleaner, somebody that's done a great job for you that you see all the time that you like. And why not tell them that you love what they do and you love that they're in your life?
Yeah, truly it was an exercise in gratitude. You know, there's been many people who have said over the years, write five things down that you're grateful for every day. I never did that exercise. I never got to it. And this really turned into that for me. Not only was I able to tell people how I felt about them while we were both still on the planet, but I was able to meet a lot of really interesting people and certainly acknowledge those people in my life that I probably wouldn't have ever had the chance to do.
Is there anybody that isn't around anymore that you wished could have been one of those 365?
You know, there were a few people that I actually did post-mortem. One most impactfully was on February 14th was Commander Paul Bauer, who right. I had known personally. And, you know, those moments were really eye-opening to me because why wouldn't I have said these things to you while I had the chance? And while I didn't get to say the things to Paul Bauer's face, I did express those in a post on that day.
And you did have that chance to say that about your friend Robbie, who is suffering and terminally ill, correct?
That's exactly right, yes. And why wouldn't we take the opportunity to say those things to people while right. we're both here?
I think that's maybe the greatest lesson to this.
Mm-hmm. It's one of many, which has been really wonderful. You know, this was an experiment that didn't cost any money, that took me a few moments each day, and that I hope other people will really take on for themselves, whatever form or fashion that looks like.
Going to write a book?
Oh, my gosh. Maybe.
I think it's a book.
No idea.
Feels like a book to me.
Don't put the pressure on.
I'd like to see first draft by Monday.
Okay, I'll get on it. I know this has some staying power. I know that in 2019 I'm going to, you know, elevate it in a way that now it's about other people. Now it's about other people taking it on, whether it's once a week or once a month. I know that we're all onto something with this gratitude experiment. So,
and 4 days into the new year, does it feel like you're missing something by not doing it every day this year?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. It does. Yep, absolutely.
Jen, great
That's
talking
why
to you.
I'm, yeah, thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. There you go. Most valuable person on the planet. Your headlines are coming up on the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Why don't we do it right now?
Chicago Bears are going to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles 20-12. Buddy Ryan comes back home to lose for the second time. Mike Ditka's team has won at home in the playoffs for the first time since 1985.
Third down and four at the 25. The design rollout by Miller, going for Des Bryant, and a woefully underthrown pass is intercepted by Damon Moore, and Jim Miller is holding on to his right arm and shoulder as he comes off the field.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Ah, sweet memories for the Hall of Famer, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Good morning to all the Chevy dealers and all the Chevy family. Hamp, it's got to be great hearing those, thinking back, Fog Bowl, playoffs. You know, Hamp, if you and I had been playing golf this summer and said, you know, this is the year the Bears are going to go 12-4, one of us would have been drunk.
I would have been giving you a penny's gift certificate. nobody saw this coming. And a lot of people, you know, I will tell you this. A couple of guys said, you know, the things could fall right, but nobody saw the Green Bay Packers imploding and going down so quickly that their head coach was fired. Nobody saw Kirk Cousins undermine a team that won the division a year ago and they don't even make the playoffs. And nobody saw the fact that Khalil Mack falls in their lap and we overnight go from a darn good defense to one that has terrorized the rest of the NFL and nobody wants to play. So You're right. Last year, it would have been a trip to Benny's for sure.
If you're the Philadelphia Eagles coming in here to play this team, to face this defense, what has to be going through the minds of Nick Foles and Alshon Jeffrey and the rest of the guys in that Philadelphia offense?
It's funny. So much of the time, NFL players, they have a certain hubris, and you have to. You can't go, well, that guy's better than me. You'd be defeated before you even try. So they're coming in, and they're saying, hey, we've got St. Nick. Nick Foles has been, you know, a godsend. Took him and won a Super Bowl with him last year. He came in, and no quarterback in football has been better, more proficient, accurate, and valuable than Nick Foles the last 3 weeks. He has got the highest rating of any quarterback in all of football. All those things being said, I promise you, in the dark of the room, when they're watching the tape, they're all shaking their heads saying, how are we going to move the ball? You try and run the ball against this defense. Eddie Goldman has been spectacular. Akeem Hicks is immovable. Khalil Mack makes play after play. But then when you try to throw the ball, I think, have the best pass rush in all of football. So all those things being considered, and let's give them credit. You know, they've got three very good receivers. You know, Alshon is what he is. You know, he'll be motivated. Their tight end is one of the best in the business. They don't think in terms of, being defeated before they get on that plane, I promise you, but This is a game they truly, truly didn't think they'd have to play at this point in the playoffs, the very first one.
Hey, Hamp, a lot is made about the playoffs. From a player's perspective, what changes? I mean, we talk about the intensity of watching the game and obviously being in the stadium, but as a player, what are the big differences of playing in the playoffs as opposed to the regular season?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this crop of players goes about it. I'll tell you this, back in my day, we never came off the field. We played hard all the time. But there's something about a self-preservation aspect that, when you're in high school and they make you run four laps and you don't run real fast on the first one, it's the same way in the season. You're kind of judging and gauging and pacing yourself.
Right.
Well, when you get in the playoffs, there's no tomorrow. And you cannot stand to have a lingering thought that if only you would have tried harder on this player, if only you would have fought through the double team, or if only you would have caught that ball. So those are the type of mental adjustments that every player should make. Every coach should make that obvious to the players that what we've done so far is step one. Now we got to crank it up, raise the bar. Well, I tell you what, it'll be hard to see this defense play better than they have, but I'm expecting them to. That means Leonard Floyd, more reckless.
Right.
Eddie Goldman, more violent inside, get after people, stay low, all those things that has to happen. We'll see if they can do it.
It's far and away the most compelling game of the weekend. You got the Colts at Houston, Seattle at Dallas. The Chargers won 12, but they're the wild card in the West because of Kansas City. Chargers at Baltimore. This is the game. And this is the game because the Eagles came out of nowhere. They got hot at the end of the season. And the general wisdom would be, well, you don't want to play the team that got hot at the end of the season. My argument, of course, would be nobody wants a piece of the Bears. Nobody wants to play the Bears. So who wins out? The team that's been rolling like the Bears have, or the team that's allegedly hotter because they've been on a roll?
Well, if you've been listening to the post game, you recognized a certain degree of respect that this team has gotten from not only myself, but the great Ed Obradovich.
Sure.
And here's the thing. And I've said this. At Thanksgiving, I was very sure this was a darn good team. Now I think they're a great team because they only needed to go 2-2 down the stretch. They went 4-0. And you know what? They didn't care. They played their butts off up in Minnesota in a game that maybe they're going to rue one day. Hey, wouldn't it be a lot easier thinking about the deadbeat Vikings coming in town tomorrow instead of the Eagles? Well, that's another day, another discussion. But the bottom line is, this team has a certain destiny feel to it. OB calls it a magical year.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, You can't deny it. Certain things are happening. Balls kicking up in the air, guys running dead, you know, on a dead full-speed run, and it falls right in their hands, and they run for a touchdown. I haven't seen this kind of stuff happen in a long time. This is no time to stop it. Now, you're saying the Eagles are on a roll? Guys, you know, it would be like you look at a team in the NBA Finals, and you won it all the year before, and now you're getting swept. You got to say, hey, we got to do something to save our pride. Well, the Eagles not making the playoffs would have been a huge, huge comeuppance. So I think they are almost, I don't want to say a team running on fumes, but you know and I know, after the Super Bowl, we talked about this ad nauseum. Every team you play brings their A game. They want to beat you. Well, all year long now, and they've had to overcome that, the loss of their quarterback, other receiver going down, all this stuff that make the playoffs, there's a certain sense of accomplishment. And, hey, we didn't look like fools. We didn't fall on our face. Trust me, I don't think they want to get on that plane and come here, but they're going to have to. I think the Bears win in a pretty convincing fashion.
We'll get to those predictions in a second, Dave.
All right, so looks like Geddy Jackson, I mean, they haven't said for sure, but at least he did practice yesterday, Hamp, and he hadn't practiced since he got hurt against Green Bay. So what do you make of that, and how much of a plus is that if, in fact, he's able to go, even if he isn't perhaps 100%?
No, he's special. I'm just telling you, he's the best safety we've had in a decade, maybe longer. He'll play, and he'll play well. I don't think there's any reservation about that. You know, if he could practice on a Thursday, then, you know, that's forever. What is it, 72 hours till kick? A lot of good stuff can happen, and he can heal. Now, that being said, you know, I was more concerned about the receivers. Think about this, you know, as disgusting as the Bears were a year ago on offense, look at the upgrades. Yeah, Trubisky's played better, but the receivers, Trey Burton, but Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson, and then, of course, Anthony Miller, those three receivers, they change everything. And everybody goes, oh, Tariq Cohen's so great. Why do you think people give him so much room? They're still worried about those three receivers. Three playmakers, three guys with speed and ability. We never had it. You know, Willie and Dennis McKinnon were really good players. These three, I mean, we didn't have players like this. So there's a lot of reasons to think, you know, this Bear team, I've never seen a team stay this healthy, a team stay this hungry, and stay this calm all the way through a season. You got to tip your cap. Matt Nagy's pushing all the right buttons.
Yeah, and Matt Nagy's going to, one of the big storylines going into the game this weekend, and as far as the Bears are going to go, is Matt Nagy getting blowed up real good when he was with the Chiefs as the OC last year. He has proven this year to be a terrific play caller, even though he's driven me nuts a few times because I think he's playing Madden. Doug Peterson calls his own plays as well. Peterson won a Super Bowl. Matt Nagy, first time running the show for the playoffs. Does that matter?
It didn't matter for Doug Peterson a year ago. You know, I mean, yeah, you know what experience they call experience? You know, it's trying. Hey, you got to go out there and try it.
Right.
All I can tell you is we know about, and we made a lot about Nagy's collapse in the second half of the playoffs last year when he was calling plays for the Chiefs. I think those are the kind of experiences that he will get better from. He will stay more, and you know, OB's screamed all year, hey, put people away. Don't play down. Don't go in a shell. We'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this, you know, and I don't mean to be a conspiracy nut, but think about this. You know, here's Nagy, and for the Eagles to get in the playoffs, they had to have the Vikings lose. Oh, my old buddy in Chicago can take care of that. Let me make a phone call.
Right.
So I'm just saying, it's almost like these two have wanted this to happen. It's almost like it's destiny. And now we're going to see which one is going to call the most crazy, you know, trick plays and you know, the rush punt, conversion teams, all those different things that we've seen all year. Both of these guys, they come from the same tree. So it'll be a very interesting game. And And as you said just a moment ago, you know, it's a great slate for the wild card weekend. But man, this Bear Philly game, it'll have some great ratings because they, you know, defending Super Bowl champion at Chicago, the Bears defense, and yep. the resurgence of this team. Boy, you can't, you couldn't ask for more.
Dave, one of the Matt Nagy play call, I don't want to give this up, but it's called Fat Guy Row 4, where they pull a fat guy out of the stands
yeah.
and they bring him in and make him eligible to catch a touchdown pass. So don't be surprised when you see it. Prediction.
Well, I think this is the Bears game. I mean, I look at this, and again, I think, Hamp, you've laid it out beautifully. I mean, obviously, Philadelphia is coming in here thinking they can win the game. I just think if the Bears play their game, they're going to win this like 31-13.
31-13. Yep. Calling a blowout. Justin?
27-10.
27-10. Bears. I assume you're picking the Bears?
Yeah.
Samber, can I put you down for a 14-14?
You can.
All right, 14-14.
Playoffs.
I think it's going to be a little bit closer, but I do think the Bears win, and they win with authority. I've got 24-17. Hemp?
Well, that 24 obviously has that Cody Parkey field goal included in it. I don't. 21-10.
ChevyDriveChicago.com sponsors the Hall of Famer. Special time this weekend. Dave, when are they on?
They will be on tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock with a preview edition of Hamp and OB with Kaz.
And then OB is demanding an internet presence on Sunday.
He wants to be on. He's very tech savvy, right,
yes.
Hamp? So
yes.
He wants to be online when the game ends on Sunday evening at WGNRadio.com.
It's great. Fantastic. Hemp?
Like I said, hey, you know, for 8 years now, I've pounded the table. I've screamed, you know, we've got to get rid of Fox. You know, what is this clown, you know, trying to – guess what? It's all behind us now. It's all on the table. This weekend, we find out if indeed the Bears are a team of destiny and the magic continues. Go Bears!
Have fun, buddy. We'll talk about that win Monday morning.
Yeah.
Birthday on the staff? Yeah.
What?
Got a staff birthday in just a second.
Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, happy birthday to you.
Oh, our own little bright shining light of positivity.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
The rainbow from traffic.
Nobody's ever called me that before.
Well, that's how I feel. Happy birthday.
It's not
tomorrow.
Yet. It's tomorrow.
What are you doing for your birthday? Mary Vandeveld, happy birthday.
I think going out to dinner with the kids and, you know.
How many of them have you wrangled together?
Probably one of the three.
Okay. And do you have a place you go on your birthday?
No, we're probably going. Maybe in Villa Park anyways. It's kind of a family
neighborhood
place.
Are you a birthday place. Person? Are you like, nah, don't make a big deal about
family?
Yeah, I don't
want it. You know, it never has been a big deal because it's right after Christmas. You know,
right.
It's one of those, like the afterthought of after Christmas. But my family usually does something.
Well, and it's
I
also,
remember.
Unfortunately, your dad passed away around your birthday.
On my birthday,
so, yeah,
yes,
so
4 years ago.
But
your dad would want you to celebrate.
He would. Was it last year that Steve surprised you with a show at the theater by your house?
That was 2 years ago at the Drury Lane.
She was like, for some reason, I have to be home right on time.
Yeah.
He's probably surprising me about something, and I don't want to.
I don't like surprises.
The thing
I really
is, you
don't.
Were so thrilled that even though I had a show, you had an excuse to get out of it, even though it was a mile from your house or whatever it is.
Well, no, I didn't have an excuse.
Duh,
I went.
Please.
I had a great time.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
So you should blow out your candle.
Oh.
Yeah.
I know. It's going to melt the
make a
my
wish.
Beautiful
like,
cake.
Been going for six
okay,
minutes.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
Powdered sugar just went everywhere.
Can I say these are beautiful cupcakes that Mary Sandberg
They really are.
Make?
Cool. By the way, where'd you get the box?
It's a gift box.
It's a gift box.
Looks like they came from a bakery.
Yeah, I lined it with parchment because they're butter. I made butter
You're
cakes.
Curious.
I made butter cakes and so I didn't want it to.
Crunchy good.
Where did you get the parchment paper?
I have parchment paper because I bake all the time. But
where did you get the parchment? And this is smart putting them in a box, a shirt box.
Well, because
then you can throw it away and get rid of them.
Right,
oh,
and they're
it's
because
a
there's
box.
A
box.
Because it's just powdered sugar. There's no frosting. You can use a shirt box because usually if there was frosting, if you put the lid on,
that.
Let
would
me ask you a question. Could you use a sweater box?
You could.
312-981-7200. Let's talk about boxes.
What you can do with boxes. I actually have a giant.
Nobody gives
give them away anymore. Yeah, you have to buy.
Last year after the Christmas, my mom gave me like a package of 10, you know, you can buy them like at Walgreens or whatever, 10 shirt boxes.
Yeah.
She gave them to me. And so they asked me last night, how are you bringing these cupcakes to work? I said, I'm going to use those shirt boxes. I said, didn't you guys give those to me? My mom said, your mother gave them to you.
Ooh.
I was giving my dad credit for giving me those shirt boxes.
Well, happy birthday, Mayor.
Thank you. And thanks, Mayor.
And, wonderful. I don't know how much a pack of boxes cost, but I did notice this year, because I'm the world's worst rapper, that gift bags are friggin' expensive.
Yeah. That's right. Expensive.
Yeah.
They're terrible. You have to go to the dollar store.
I went to the friggin' expensive store. And, I was surprised.
Oh, thank you.
They're expensive. Well, did you keep your gift bags to reuse? Because that's...
I always do.
Yeah.
Some people throw them away. Big mistake.
Got to do it.
Big mistake. I actually steal them from people when they're in the garbage. I take them.
I spent over $10,000 in gift bags.
You could be that, Mayor.
Birthdays are good for you. Statistics show that people who have the most live the longest.
Oh. Aww,
that's sweet. And you all so signed sweet. It nicely, I see.
Right.
I use best pen.
With cursive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, some of us, anyway.
Some of us.
Justin wanted to do it in digital, but we couldn't figure out a way to do it.
I was hoping there was an app for it, but...
Justin
Happy birthday.
Printed, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys.
In moments, there will be a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook and Twitter of Mary's birthday.
You captured this celebration already?
We did. Wow. We are fast here at
All right,
WGN
back to
Radio.
Work for you. 804 right. News Happy Next, 720 guys. WGN from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than
Well, considering I slept 2 hours, I think I'm in a pretty good mood. I could be cranky.
You sound perky.
What? Oh, sorry. I wouldn't say perky. I will tell you this, Dean. At 2 a.m., it's hard to choose between George Clooney and The American, Matthew Modine and Married to the Mob,
right?
Or reruns of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's what I would have gone with.
That's what I did go with. Those were my options.
I can't have... If I... wake up and have the TV on to try to go back to sleep, I can't have anything too engaging.
Right.
Has to be sort of mindless.
Yeah, but it's got to be entertaining mindless, because as you fade out, you want something that is entertaining yet tedious, I suppose.
Yeah, you don't want to be getting mad. House Hunters.
I was going to say, House Hunters is a great one.
Mm.
Give me a Golden Girls.
the Golden Girls were on, too. And I was torn, because I knew I was gonna probably not going back to sleep, so the Golden Girls... We're on for like an hour, and then there was something on after Golden Girls at 3 a.m., and I thought, well, that would be good, but I was hoping I'd be asleep by then. These are the problems I had.
Did you pay attention to the Golden Girls?
No.
That show is a strange show. I'm just saying,
sure,
if you watch it now, it is a very non-PC show.
Dean dated all of them.
What do you mean, a non-PC? You would think with Golden Girls being a family kind of vibe, but the jokes that come from Estelle Getty in that show are over-the-top sex, race, social commentary. Everything. It's funny, but it's hilarious to think that was...
Does this have anything to do
with that today? We watched it as kids. Yeah.
Does this have anything to do with the fact that Blanche turned you down when you hit on her?
Blanche is... Another fountain.
Blanche never turned anyone down.
Just saying. It's pretty funny.
All right. I want to ask you about a number of things here, but I want to ask you about the Kevin Hart story.
Yeah.
I have a theory. Here's my theory. It's a stunt, because Kevin Hart is now considering, because Ellen made a call to come back. You'll fill us in on the details. And maybe he still hosts the Oscars. But there's been no sense of urgency since he originally said, I'm out.
Right.
What's going on?
I sort of agree with you that I think that, I mean, this whole thing blew up, and the Academy asked for an apology, which Kevin wound up giving an apology.
Right.
So why wasn't it just over then, when Kevin, they discovered some tweets and some material from his stand-up comedy act that a lot of people viewed as homophobic? And at first he didn't apologize, then he did apologize, saying that he didn't realize that his words were so harmful. And so anyway, he wound up apologizing. So it should have been over, and he should have gone back to hosting the Oscars. Everyone thought that he just decided that he wasn't going to do it. He didn't like the way that they handled it. But so he goes on Ellen, and he's making the rounds of some talk shows right now, because he has a new movie coming out next week with Bryan Cranston. And he was talking about this and talking about how he was attacked on social media by internet trolls who found these old tweets of his. But, I mean, these were tweets of his. It's not...
Yeah, it was his words.
It's not like somebody made it up. These were his words that were homophobic. And talking about, if his son was gay, there would be physical violence. That's pretty profound.
That's in his act, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's in his act. I mean, that's profound. But he talks about that in the Ellen interview. And then Ellen has come to his defense. We have a little bit of sound off the interview that will be on Ellen's show today.
There are so many haters out there. Whatever's going on in the internet, don't pay attention to them. That's a small group of people being very, very loud. We are a huge group of people who love you and want to see you host the Oscars.
Mm-hmm. You have put a lot of things on my mind, and I know where our relationship stands. So leaving here, I'm promising you, I'm evaluating this conversation.
Okay. So
yeah, what?
He's evaluating.
Okay.
And he might go back. As you point out, Steve, if you have a host of a big show like this who quits, it seems like, and has it been a month since that's happened? Seems like you would have, found somebody by now for a show that's going to happen in about another month, and you haven't heard a word about it. So, is all this planned? I don't know.
Hey, Dean, it's such an interesting dichotomy, because mainstream America loves Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's a guy who is going to be a big box office star. He can be in Jumanji and things like that. But the Oscars
also in Night School.
Yeah, true. Bomb. Terrible. But the Oscars are a celebration of the film community in Hollywood, a community that is out, that has a big gay community, a part of it. So there's this idea of, do you want this guy to represent that community who's made these jokes in the past, as opposed to who's going to watch this telecast?
Well, I don't know what the answer is to that. I mean, he's apologized for his words. Ellen said, "I am in the LGBT community, and I think you're a different person now. I think you've changed, and I accept your apology." So, I don't know. The idea that there is this, one voice, this, gay voice that, is represented in Hollywood, I think is untrue. There are gay people everywhere. I got news for you.
Right.
Maybe more so in entertainment or in creative endeavors. I don't know if that's true or not. But the fact of the matter is that Kevin has apologized for things that he now realizes that he can't be so flippant about. And Ellen says that she thinks he's changed. She knows him way better than I do. She accepts his apology. We'll see what happens.
Announcement, I'm guessing, is going to come as soon as today that he's back in.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Madonna's butt. Neil deGrasse
choked up over that one.
McDonald's butt. McDonald. What?
That's their new sandwich. It's a limited time only sandwich. The McRib was so popular, they're putting out a new sandwich called Madonna butt.
2 hours sleep. Imagine how much fun the 9 o'clock hour is going to be for the listeners.
I'm loving it.
Madonna's butt. Neil deGrasse Tyson. And movie review, maybe some more when we come back with Dean. Stand by, Dean, and
you'll be calling his name. Dean Richard.
825. Dean, the Lucas brothers are in the PPG Paints green room.
Oh, wow.
They're just another one of those identical twin stand-up comedy acts you see all the time.
They're very funny.
Identical twins that left law school to pursue comedy. You know that old story.
Their parents must be really happy about that. You're in law school. Got both of your kids in law school.
Mom, Dad, we're making a change.
We want to be
It
comedians.
Costs you less, though, if they drop out of law school and go be comedians.
Not emotionally.
Oh.
All right, so before we get to the big Madonna story, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he was implicated in a Me Too thing in some degree. Is that why he's canceling a show?
He isn't canceling a show. The National Geographic Channel is putting it on hold for now. There are two sexual assault allegations against him, sexual misconduct allegations against him right now. And he was to begin a show on the National Geographic Channel called Star Talk. The network says that they put it on hold for now while they continue to investigate it. Tyson has denied the allegations, says he'll cooperate fully with the investigation.
All right, I'm going to do a joke here, and because of the time that we live in and the era we live in, I'm telegraphing the joke. And I want to disclaim the joke before I do the joke.
It's not going to be a good joke.
This is just a joke. Well, you can't judge a joke until you hear the joke.
Yeah, okay. But you can't disclaim
I'm ready to judge.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Is this the wisest thing maybe to do?
I think all material should be done this way going forward.
If you're putting a disclaimer out that probably you're going to be mad about this.
Yes, but I think all material should be done this way. It's the only way to get through the day.
I've only had 2 hours of sleep.
Neil deGrasse Tyson is putting a show on hold. Are you sure this wasn't just a misunderstanding about the use of the word Uranus? Huh? Come on! Come on! It was worth the wait.
Oh, Dean's laughing. Yes.
I like any joke that has Uranus in it.
See what I did there?
And it's okay because you gave the disclaimer. Hart would have given a disclaimer.
Right. Yeah, we wouldn't even be having a discussion.
We'd be having this conversation.
You know what was nice? I was able to get my complaint email even before you told the joke.
And by the way, the science community has renamed it Uranus.
Yeah, I know, but it wouldn't work for the joke.
Not as funny.
That's like Urlacher, though. Some things you just never pronounce correctly, right. You know?
Escape Room, any good?
I think Escape Room had the potential of being good. It's these, you know, group of people. You've seen these people. They, you know, they go to a place and they lock them in a room, and you got to figure out, you got to find clues how to get out of the room. That's what this movie is about. So, like, one of those kind of deals. Except if you don't figure out how to get out of the room, you get killed.
Seems strong.
You either move on to the next room or you die. So it's like
I told you, we should have gone to Chuck E. Cheese.
What's worse, the dying or not being able to solve the code, and then the game is over? And
depends
you
on the player.
That's embarrassing. That's shameful.
Very humiliating. Yeah, either way. Right. Excuse my voice. So this room is, you know, five different rooms. You got to figure out how to get out or you die. It's very repetitive. I mean, the basic structure of this movie, five little mini plays that are set up and executed pretty much the same way five different times. So I found it a little boring. I gave it a Dean's List C-.
All right. Now, yesterday, we didn't get a chance to get to your 10
worst
movies.
You know what? I have a suggestion for this.
What?
Why doesn't Dean join you to record your podcast at 10:30 on Monday so you guys can do the 10 movies at length?
Because I don't know if he has time. Do you have time, Dean?
Do you have time on Monday at 10:30?
This Monday, I don't, because the Golden Globes are Sunday. Right. So Monday,
it's a good try, though, to keep the show on time.
Golden
Monday
Globes.
Is the, right, Monday's the, you know, the big wrap-up.
Sure, sure.
Deal.
All right, number 10.
Oh, it's me. Sorry. Your tiredness is spreading off.
Oh, yeah, it's my fault. Uranus.
Spreading off on me. The Meg. That was the movie about the giant shark.
Oh, yeah.
The giant shark movie.
I want to see that.
That originally I liked, and then I saw it again, and it was kind of stupid the second time, and
it made the top 10 worst of the year.
It's just, yeah, I was going down the list. I was like, yeah, maybe I didn't like this that much after all. Number 9 was this new Jennifer Lopez movie called Second Act.
That was just out.
It was just out. And it's a movie about, you know, her using lies and deception to get ahead in life, which just seems like a bad message. But the movie itself is just, it's not that funny. It was kind of landed flat.
And delightful stars, you got your Milo, Ventimiglia, Frusengloschen, Farfignugan, that guy.
Exactly. Uranus. And
8.
Number 8 is, this was, I got a lot of heat about this choice yesterday. It was the Clint Eastwood movie, 1517 to Paris. This was the movie that he directed about those three gentlemen who stopped a terrorist attack on a high-speed train that was going to Paris.
True story.
Remember that story? Yeah. True story.
Yep.
And, you know, a very well-intentioned movie. Clint Eastwood decided to use the actual three guys, the heroes, as the actors in this movie. And that's where the movie fell apart to me and lots of other critics as well.
Yeah, because he couldn't act.
It couldn't. The acting was extremely awkward. And
right.
While it was very nice, I understand his intention. I think these guys would have been better honored by having actors playing them who could have really delivered the emotion of this movie. So
number seven
was the scary movie Truth or Dare. Bunch of drunken spring breakers wind up in a scary mansion and play a game of truth or dare with a stranger. Guess what, Steve? They start winding up dead.
That's odd. Yeah. Who saw that coming? Number six.
Never could see that happening. The Jennifer Lawrence alleged drama, Red Sparrow, prima ballerina that goes to spy school. Number five.
Yeah, there's a line in the movie or in the promotion for the movie where in a bad Russian accent she says, "They sent me to whore school."
Yeah. Yes.
Number five
sums it up pretty much. Overboard. It was Anna Faris in this movie. She's like a rug cleaning person, and she goes to clean a rug on a yacht, spoiled millionaire who treats her like dirt, and she decides to get even with him. When he gets amnesia, she makes him think that he is her long lost husband. If that.
How did that not work?
Yeah. I'm exhausted just repeating the one sentence.
I just watched
summary.
The original Overboard about a week and a half ago. It was on TV.
Same premise?
It's with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Oh, that one's the best. Movie.
That's Spencer Tracy.
You know it. Spencer
Tracy, Katherine Hepburn did the original.
Unless it was on at 2 a.m. last night, I haven't seen it.
Dean, Steve has to know Overboard, doesn't he? The original, one with Goldie Hawn.
I probably do.
Today,
probably do.
I'm not giving Steve any, I'm not assuming anything Steve knows today.
Number four was the documentary about Uranus.
Was the movie that starred Tom Hardy called Venom.
Oh, yeah.
Superhero movie. Made a ton of money. It was tremendously financially successful. I just didn't think there was very much to it.
Number three.
I know you'll be shocked to hear that I put 50 Shades Freed, the final in the 50 Shades trilogy.
Well, the number 50 hopes it's the final because the number 50 wants nothing to do with this anymore.
Right. Both 50 and Shades are all insulted that they're forever linked to this whole thing.
Number two.
Is the Mila Kunis movie, the alleged comedy, The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Yeah, I wish that was good. I mean, it looked like it had promise.
It looked like it had promise and just there was no story to this at all. Some people liked it. Hey, God bless you. I'm glad you did. I thought it was awful.
Number one.
And the number one movie was the Melissa McCarthy Dirty Muppet movie, The Happy Time Murders.
Worst movie of the year.
I thought it was horrible.
And that whole list.
Not the dirtiness part of it. It just was so badly
it's a bad movie.
Written. Badly, badly written.
And that list available at WGNTV.com.
Yeah. And I the thing about this is I find it more than ironic that Melissa McCarthy's follow-up movie to that was Can You Ever Forgive Me?
You know, if they double feature those, that'd be fantastic.
Then it's, it's like a Kevin Hart thing. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Let's end your segment every Friday we do this. Madonna's butt.
So there are some pictures of Madonna from New Year's Eve. She appeared at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. And photographs of her. Steve, it looks like she took a cantaloupe, cut it in half, and stuck each half on her buttocks in the back. Her butt is gigantic in the back.
I never thought about that because I have a white man flat butt disease, and maybe I'd try that.
You might want to think about doing this.
Yeah.
But it looks like she went overboard with it all. Her response is, I am desperately not seeking anyone's opinion about what I do to my body.
Wow. Okay. Well, she didn't deny it.
Yeah.
Do we have any word from her ass?
You mean her anus?
As opposed to Uranus. Welcome to the show.
This was an extra classy segment.
It really, really was. But I disclaimed the entire thing.
If you're listening at the Broadcasting Museum, I'll be over around 10:30 to deliver a tape of this segment. This one really should be retained for future broadcasters to hear.
Have a good weekend.
See you guys.
Hear you on the radio and see you on TV. And we're coming back with your headlines right now. And then the Lucas Brothers will join us. Very funny guys.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, 8:42, Second City's Up Comedy Stage. You want to laugh? You want to laugh hard? I mean, you can have a miserable weekend if you want. I mean, it's your call. Or you could go to this, the Lucas Brothers, tonight, 7:30 and 10:30. Tomorrow, 7:30 and 10:30. Sunday, 7 p.m. Tickets at 312-337-3992 or secondcity.com. Keith and Kenny Lucas are here. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for getting up. How miserably bitter were you two when you had to come in here at this hour?
I just got a dog, a puppy, and I've been waking up every day at like five?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you
have dog barking simulating it to get you out of bed?
Like in my mind. Yeah. It's like imprinted.
So instead of like the old school hotel wake up call, somebody with a dog.
Don't need it.
Does that dog travel with you?
I want to have her travel with us eventually, but she's too young now. We have to get her shots. So
where do you guys live?
We're in Hollywood.
No, of course you are.
I know.
Where'd you grow up?
We grew up in Newark, New Jersey.
Newark to Hollywood, for people that don't know, generally it's a Southwest flight somewhere through Houston. The cliched questions are the ones that have to be asked. You're in law school.
Yes.
Who bailed first on law school?
I bailed first.
Who's I, Kenny?
You gotta say your name. Oh, Kenny. It was Kenny. Kenny bailed first.
If you're watching on the radio.
You're watching on the radio.
We're streaming this, actually, so you can see that video as well.
Yeah, Kenny. It was me.
And we're going to tweet the whole thing and not give you any rights to me. So you bailed first.
Yeah.
Were you guys going to the same law school?
No. No. We're going to different law schools.
All right, which law schools?
I was at Duke, and Keith was at Duke. Kenny was at NYU.
Duke and where?
NYU.
So obviously you're both idiots.
Yeah.
All right. So this makes the next piece of this even more entertaining to me. Who do you call your dad? Do you call your mom? Who do you call and tell? Yeah, we're giving up on law school.
Well, when I first basically said I wasn't doing it, I called Keith, tried to convince him to do it, and then we told our mom. And who else did we tell after that?
I think we just talked to our mom and she was cool with it. And then
She loves you, but she wasn't cool with it.
She didn't express, she wasn't.
What made her feel
very comfortable about us leaving law school was when I told her that we wanted to be stand-up comedians.
Right, exactly.
Then she was like, oh, okay, well, now I feel
Yeah,
fine.
Well, now at least you've made a solid choice.
Did you present that in some kind of bit? Like, did you do a little skit for her?
No, we used our law skills to try to convince her
there you go.
That we wanted to be comedians. Use it for something.
Made her feel like the defendant.
When you make that kind of call, when you decide you're going to do that, when you commit to being full-time stand-up comedians, how does that happen? Do you just start right away in clubs and act out? How does it work?
It was a long journey. I moved back.
It started in the crib.
It started in the womb. It started in the womb. We were riffing jokes in the womb, and we were like, we got to be stand-ups. But no, I left law school, went back to Jersey, and we started in the Jersey scene. And so we were doing like open mics all across Jersey. By the way,
let me just explain something to the kids listening.
Yeah.
The Jersey comedy scene all across Jersey.
Yeah.
You guys are lucky you're alive. You're lucky you're alive. Because you got to figure out what your act is.
Yeah. I had no clue what our act was, but we were still doing these ice cream shows and, Passaic. We were Stress Factory. Mm-hmm. It was fun, but we didn't have an act. It was just us rambling on stage. Like, you know how we do it.
Yeah.
So like what we're doing now.
But well, you guys must love each other because otherwise you'd kill each other. Do you have a good brother fight occasionally?
We've had plenty of fights. What was our first fight? The record is 5-5. I won five. So we got to have one.
How
more
many
fight.
Knockdowns?
Knockdowns.
We've had some knockdowns.
Yeah. One
we
try to avoid the school. Face.
We avoid the face.
Yeah.
His face is my face. I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But if it's going to happen, let it happen to his.
Exactly.
As twins, when you decided to go into stand up comedian, was that the you're going to make an act about the fact that you were identical twins? That was the conceit to get you on stage,
or were you trying to go the other way?
We weren't smoking as much weed. When Kenny started, I don't think you had me in mind, right? Were you just... No, I started just because I was losing my mind and I was in a bad relationship. And I was like, maybe I should get on stage. And then I saw the Sklar Brothers and I thought they were great. And I was like, well, I think if I'm going to do comedy in my most authentic way, I have to do it with him on stage. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask them about Sklar Brothers because I'm obsessed with the Sklar Brothers.
They're amazing.
They found them
They're really good, but let's go through all of the comedy teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we just did. The Sklar Brothers and you guys.
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the idea that you could do this, A, as brothers, B, with the level of success you had, because you have to have people in the business who know everything going.
Yeah.
You guys really should try this on your own. Nobody does the team thing. The Sklar Brothers was a lightning strike.
Yeah.
It's very cool that you stayed with it.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, what else are we... If I want to talk about my life, I can only really talk about it with my brother next to me because we've experienced.
Well, you could have been in the crowd heckling you. You could have been a guy on stage.
We may still do that.
The Netflix special, which everybody else sees, hysterical.
Thank you.
You told us off the air. The tour's going great?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. This is like, I don't know, it's just been fun. Yeah, it's like we've been able to go all across the country. We went to London.
Fun.
And we've been just, you know, having more fun with stand-up, mm-hmm. I think.
London, I bet they loved you.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
No, I'm not kidding. I bet they loved you. Why did we have to fight?
As twins, you know, and family, I think of I have a brother, and I have such a spark, and you want to be creative, but when the actual process happens, it's much more volatile than I think it would be with a stranger or with a collaborator.
Oh, yeah.
For you guys, how talk about that part of it, the idea of the process of getting on stage and being so intimate with each other.
Yeah.
Is that there's obviously great things about that, but there's also there has to be challenges.
Oh yeah. I mean, when we first started, I mean, we just didn't really have a POV on what we wanted to do comedically. So I brought, you know, my history into it. He brought his history into it. So we sort of had some disagreements up top. But as we've done it longer and longer, we've definitely got more comfortable just sharing everything, sharing our story. It's been, I don't know if you would agree.
Yeah, we didn't have a delivery mechanism. So it would be a lot of sort of conflict on how to get the jokes out,
right.
What we wanted to talk about, how we wanted to sort of structure our act.
Well, it's all timing.
You're timing two people. It's all timing. And we just didn't have that figured out yet.
Understandable.
Yeah. We were both just talking over each other and trying to figure out who was the funniest as opposed to...
You should get a talk show. That's what I do every day.
Right. Do you have... I know with my... I have a sister who's a year younger than me, and we remember things differently. So does that happen with twins, or since you're the exact same age, like things that... happened with my family.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's actually a good bit. You just gave him 5 new minutes.
No, well, I saw this differently. No, we usually see things in a similar fashion, but I imagine. But I've never deconstructed it to a point where like I tried to realize whose interpretation is the right interpretation.
But what's funnier than identical twins who don't really know each other? Come on.
Nothing funnier than that.
You don't know me at all.
You guys, when you talk, you've said it a couple times now about developing your voice or what your act's going to be. You guys have settled in quite nicely to talking about politics, mm-hmm. political inequality, social inequality.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the things that are bubbling up in this country and have been for quite some time, but now are at the forefront because of what's happening. You guys are able to skewer on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take a while to get there, or is that just organic for you?
It took us a while to get there because we weren't sure how we wanted to approach it. We weren't sure like what comedic approach we wanted to take to the politics. But again, 8 years in, I think we got more comfortable on stage, and I feel like we've been able to at least figure something out. I mean, yeah, again, I think it goes back to figuring out your... I hate the term voice. I like to say, like, mechanism of delivery, but that's...
A comfort.
It's really comfort, man. It's really comfort.
Mechanism of delivery sounds like an NYU guy.
Well, there's one thing, too, because you're hearing more and more from audiences that want to escape when they go to shows.
Yeah.
They don't want, especially with the news cycle mm-hmm. as it is right now. It's just nonstop over and over and over. When you're an act that does do a lot of pointing out the inequalities that are happening, the political, racial, social, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Do you have to think about how you approach audiences because they're
so we're from North Jersey, and you know the history. It's like it's so rich in terms of politics and racial issues and stuff like that. And so we usually end up talking about things that happen in our lives,
mm-hmm.
but it just so happens to
correspond to what's happening now. So like if you can do a whole hour on just North New Jersey alone, and it'll touch on themes that are that we see now, right. or issues that we see now. So like just talking about our childhood puts us into that space.
Have you played the Bada Bing?
Never.
Never. Tony Soprano's club.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think you guys would do really well there.
I think we'd
kill there.
I think we'd do well.
Yeah.
Tony will love us.
Right, hang on a second. Let's do this real quick. We'll take a break. We'll come back with you guys. The Lucas Brothers are here. They're going to be at the Up Comedy Stage, part of the Second City Megaplex. SecondCity.com, 312-337-3992. Two tonight, two Saturday, one Sunday night at 7. But they'll have brunch with you if you're available Sunday morning.
I love that room, the Up Theater in that mega complex.
Right, we're just talking about not doing enough stand-up there. Hopefully there's more coming. Now, you were going to say something right before the break, but I also wanted to add, any identical twins that have given up law school for stand-up, if you call us, I will buy your tickets to any show this weekend. Justin?
I was thinking about growing up in Newark, and you talk a lot about North New Jersey. How does that help you in Hollywood? As you move there, does it help keep you grounded as you start to write and perform and take on other projects?
Yeah, I mean, being from Newark, at least for me, at least, it keeps me humble. Like, it's just a daily reminder of, you know, where I come from. And you never want to forget where you come from. So, like, since we've...
I've already forgotten it, man. I've been trying to erase it out.
Trying to erase it out.
Oh, yeah.
That was we were initially trying to erase it out of our heads. But now that we're like, oh, it's a wealth of materials. Wealth of stories, and the history is so rich that it's like, I want to put Newark on the map. So being in Hollywood is like, it's like, that's my goal now.
You guys married?
No.
Because you're not going to let Yoko break this up at some point, are you?
Oh, no. Our bond is as...
too strong.
It's too strong.
Yeah. This goes to another Netflix special, I assume, because the one you guys just did is, you know...
We want to shoot the next one in Newark, and we're going to talk a lot about our relationship and how Newark had an impact on it. I mean, because it did.
Mm-hmm.
A huge impact.
Certainly shaped, I mean, our personalities and shaped our dynamic, our relationship, and the comedy that we do, and a philosophy that we have.
Aren't you guys also due right now to start a soul-crushing sitcom to ruin your act? Isn't that about to happen as well?
Not yet. We're holding up. We're doing a movie with Warner Brothers, and we sold something... two things to Warner Brothers and Universal, and
and by the way, they don't have an agent because they both went to enough combined law school.
We don't need an agent.
Do you ever need breaks from each other since you work together? And
without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I mean, 26.
Whoa, easy.
We spend so much time together, like almost 98 to 99% of our time we spend a lot. So every now and then you need a break.
Well, we get breaks. We get bathroom breaks.
Oh, we do bathroom breaks, shower breaks.
Oh, you don't go together there?
Sometimes we do, but it depends on the day.
Justin, last word.
As you get ready for Chicago, do you have to think about the act that you put on stage on the tour, or is it just a national tour? I mean, do you guys, obviously, with the
we keep it pretty consistent.
Putting Newark on the map, man. Yeah. So, like, it's like, yeah, we got to say what we say.
Substitutes. No Chicago Bears jokes this weekend.
we might pander a little bit. Yeah, we got to pander a little bit. Yeah, I love Michael Jordan. So. I do love Mike. So I love Mike.
If something doesn't land, say Jordan or go Bears, you're going to be just fine. Either one of those.
That's my catchphrase, Michael Jordan.
It's great to meet you guys. I'm a big fan.
Great to meet you as well.
This is great. So
continued success.
Thank you.
And give your mom a hug. She must be an amazing woman.
She is an amazing
woman. She's phenomenal.
Can't believe she even talks to you two. We are going to go to the news here in just a second. And after 9 o'clock, Kelly Kitley's going to be here. Some important stuff to stay, as always, one of our favorite people. And Breakfast with the Blackhawk with Troy Murray coming up as well. And we'll talk a little more Bears. Bears should have the Eagles beaten around 6-15. They should be done by then. They'll have some game time left, but it'll be over by then come Sunday night. And Dave will remind you when the 3 Bears, or the 2.5 Bears, whatever we're calling it now, will be on as well.
We haven't called them that for many years.
Okay. You know, you just got back, and suddenly you're going to go snippy on me.
No, not snippy. I just, what is just that? Constructive.
Okay.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
And whether you're listening on your computerized communications console, your smart device, or on something we call a radio, thank you very much. Thank you for the support. Thank you for listening. Normally we'd be on CLTV, but due to circumstances beyond our control, we won't be back on until Monday. Feel better soon. Can I say she's not feeling well?
You just did?
You did.
I didn't say her name yet.
Yeah.
All right, fun. Feel better.
Okay.
Yeah. We like fun.
Yeah. Unless she did one of those things where she's faking being ill and just took the day off.
Boy, that would not be good. Kelly's here. We love Kelly. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Nice to see you.
Great to see you.
You just told us some very exciting news off the air that you and your sisters are trying to rip your families apart by working together.
Well, I like to take a little more positive approach.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that would be the therapist in you.
Yeah.
No, this is a cool idea. Tell people what you're doing.
Thank you so much. So my sisters and I are joining forces and opening a studio called Renew Studio in Elmwood Park.
Okay.
And it's going to focus on meditation, yoga. I will work in my community one day a week on Fridays, working with couples and individuals, and I'll still have Serendipitous down the street. But this is really an opportunity for us to create a space that's really upbeat and positive, and people come in and...
What's the rotation? Do you meditate, then do therapy, then do yoga? How do you do the circle?
Well, you get to choose. I mean, you could do it all. You could, do one or the other. It's all beneficial.
Can you do it all at the same time? That's not possible.
While you're doing upward and downward dogs, at least giving you tips on how to be more mindful in your life.
Do I feel statements while you're doing the...
Oh, I love
it's really smart. I mean, obviously, it's handy that you three all have these different disciplines, but it's really an excuse dropper if you got all three things in one place. It's great.
It is.
It's a cool idea.
Thank you so much.
So when are you open?
We will open the doors on March 1st. We're getting into the space this weekend and going to start doing some work in there and zen it out.
You'll tell us when your website's ready and we'll plug it for you?
Thank you. I hope you'll come and do some downward dog with us.
There couldn't be...
Isn't
just
there a couch involved in the therapy?
There is. They were asking if I'd do therapy on a yoga mat, but, I don't know. It's a little too new agey for me.
It's funny to think of three sisters zenning out a space, because sometimes three sisters collaborating can lead to the least zen things.
This is a TV show.
Yeah.
Three sisters doing exactly what you're doing. I'm telling you. Copyright the idea as best you can, because you can't copyright an idea in show business. Have someone write the script immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, first, we're saving this, the Lucas brothers. Now we're giving you this show.
So it could be a yoga, meditation, therapy, and a screenwriting shop.
There you go.
Right. You got a lot going on.
Thank you, you guys.
And a medical weed dispensary, but that's a different story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep the ideas flowing.
Right? There are no bad ideas.
We'll try anything.
All right. What is a dry January?
Dry January. Okay. So a lot of people will make a commitment to give up booze, any kind of alcohol, for the month of January as like a cleanse. I think because so many people are engaging in drinking and, not eating great from Thanksgiving to New Year's, they'll say, you know what? It's really become all the rage.
Starting
January 1st, I'm not going to have any alcohol for 31 days.
And you and I both know, coming from addictive families, that this is a big deal.
It's a big deal. I did dry January for years. And then February 1st, I was like, I can't wait to drink.
You decided to go dry 365.
Yeah.
That's a different program.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, there you
go.
Gosh.
Oh, dry, you got to trademark that.
Dry 365.
You know what that is? That's my home warming opener for your place. It's a freebie from me to you.
Thank you, Steve.
So it's now a stand-up club?
Well,
all right. We're just adding the ideas.
Expanding the walls.
But you were saying about the dry January, because I know my sister's doing a dry January and some of her girlfriends are. It's being met with some anger from other people.
I don't understand that. Well, what are people angry about?
Well, we live in such a drinking saturated culture, and I think if people aren't participating in it, they feel like they're doing something wrong, or
you're judging. I think that's in the
judgment,
case they're like, oh, well, if you're going not drinking and I'm going to drink this month, then I must be the bad
person. Why can't you celebrate the effort of someone else while you're getting plowed?
Right. Well, see, you're so mindful, Steve. Not everyone is at that space.
Right. Well, and sometimes the approach with dry January is this like bitterness of like white knuckling it. Yeah. Oh, it's January 4th. I haven't had a drink in, 3 days. And but really the idea behind it, I think it's a great idea for people to try out just a total wellness and eliminate some behaviors.
Sure.
But go in it with a positive approach of, I'm sleeping better. Maybe they're trying to lose weight. Maybe everybody does it for different reasons. Right. But the idea is, don't run back to the old patterns of behavior.
Don't spend the whole dry January just waiting to be able to jump back off on February.
Right, or that will be miserable.
I know in my sister's case, she's doing the dry January, but a girlfriend of her said, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do 100 days. And now Katie's mad because she's competitive and she thinks that she's supposed, she's like,
her
she's
lifetime
trying to
is
beat
an
me.
Athlete.
Right. So yeah. She's all angry about it.
Kelly, I wonder, you know, when you're talking about addictive behaviors and even obsessive behaviors, and drinking falls in that category, of course, how do you prepare yourself for when that challenge is over? If it's some, if you're doing this for the reason that, yes, I consider myself to be too dependent on alcohol, mm-hmm. how do you make sure and safeguard that on February 1st you don't dive in double, triple, and go into destructive behavior?
And I love that question because that... That's such a common behavior shift for anybody, even if it's eliminating sugar or
making up for lost time.
Then you buy a bag of cookies and eat the whole bag.
Right.
But that mindfulness and being present and having a plan put in place, you know, that maybe that transition looks like moderation management. So you've abstained the whole month of January. Ease your way back in.
Yeah, you don't have to quit drinking.
No.
But maybe you feel so much better that you go, maybe I don't need two cocktails every night. Maybe I get one every other day or one at night. I mean, you know, or maybe it does mean you quit. It's just it's an experiment, a life experiment.
An experiment.
Right.
Yes.
That's it.
And you learn from it. And I ask people to journal about their experience and when they were tempted or triggered, you know, for more of the people who are coming into my office and saying, like, I want to look at this.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, these overachievers come in, they're like, I'm doing Whole 30, I'm cutting out alcohol, I'm going to work out twice a day.
It's, but see,
like,
that's interesting.
Let's
because,
slow down a little.
Yeah,
bit.
That's the thing. You know, this is what you do. You try to help people maximize their lives. Do you recommend not piling on with your wellness efforts where you do everything at once because it's January 1st? Something's got to give,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Choose one thing and put your energy
and get good
into
at that.
That. Yeah.
Right, right.
Look, it's like Steve went to psychotherapy school.
I was
or
thinking
something.
The same thing.
Oh, I've had a lot of therapy, honey.
Maybe it's the 90
of
minutes of sleep today or whatever that was.
A lot of therapy. Yeah, the walls are down today. The guard's down. Yeah, that's it.
We could set up a chair in our new space.
I'd doze off immediately.
Oh, Steve just
yeah,
sitting there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's cool? You go out to lunch and I could actually pull off the role of therapist with no license whatsoever.
Oh, you geez. Know what? If they give you a chair and a half at their studio, that's
I'm
where
done.
You'll really be.
I'd be done. I'd be done.
The chair and a half is his favorite.
The greatest invention in furniture history. Do you recommend this as couples?
Oh, that couples do
yeah,
try January
do this together?
Together? Yes, because we know that people are more successful when they have support.
Mm-hmm.
And so get friends to do it, family members, a significant other. That ensures more success and accountability.
What happens if you fall off for one day on January 15th? Feel bad about yourself?
Absolutely not. Start over the next day. It
right.
really is one day at a time.
Right. And there is no scorecard. This is a personal thing between you and your body and your wellness.
Absolutely.
And do you think that's okay if that's a plan, like, for those of us born in January, if you already earmarked a day as, like, I'm doing this except for I've got this celebration and this celebration, so I'm going to give myself a buy on those. That's
absolutely. That works, too.
Dave, we haven't done a joke about you drinking in quite some time.
I was really kind of waiting for it because I knew it's coming.
I'm just thinking, instead of dry
your
January.
System right now, Steve.
Instead of dry January, could we do dry Tuesday afternoon for Dave? I'm just saying. That's all.
Just, Kelly, I mean,
small.
Really.
Small. Baby steps.
Start small.
Oh, okay.
What do you recommend for somebody like Dave who leaves?
You
no,
stop.
No, no, not from the drinking. Who leaves already is on a very clean life. He already works out all the time. You already eat really healthy. He enjoys a cocktail occasionally. Steve is kidding about that.
Yes.
What's left to conquer for Dave? He's already got it all.
Maintenance. He's so lucky. He's in the maintenance phase. So keep doing what you're doing and continue to evolve.
Do you drink while you work out, Dave, or do you do it after?
You know, I've missed you.
Same here.
Dave, we've been separated for a few weeks,
yes.
So Dave's,
yeah,
we're
Dave's
getting
very,
it all out on Dave.
Dave's been very busy. Would you mind grabbing a couple calls? Why don't we do that?
Yeah,
would you mind taking
let's
a couple
do that.
Calls?
I'd love that.
312-981-7200. If you call and you have a question about not just dry January, but about how your life's going. By the way, I always do this disclaimer with Dr. Most as well. Can't cure you over the phone. Can give you a little bit of direction. Maybe some resources if they're needed, but if you want to call and have a quick little exchange, that's fine. Frazier couldn't fix you. I can't. It's Frazier's on at 2 a.m. too. You know, that's where the reference came from.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Let's jump to the texters. First text question for Kelly. Kelly, first off, why don't we do this? Let me explain where people can find you and how they contact you if they'd like to get a little help. Whoops. Let's get the microphone on. There you go.
Okay. People can find out about my practice at www.kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y, Kitley, K-I-T-L-E-Y.com. And I am on the Magnificent Mile at Michigan and Chicago Avenue.
And doing TV all over. You're a fabulous guest. At any moment you could drop us, but I hope you won't.
Never.
Okay.
I stay true to my roots.
That's it. 773. What if I really enjoy drinking? Is it texter?
What if I really enjoy drinking?
In regards to a dry January, I guess.
Well, again, going back to this idea of moderation management, I think it's great if you enjoy drinking, if it's not problematic and you are able to regulate it. I think that oftentimes when people make a behavior change, they will notice a significant difference in just the way that they're feeling. And it's really difficult at first. Excuse me. But they will find positive results in a short amount of time. So try management, you know, and just being mindful of how much you're drinking, and put a number in place that, you know, moderation management is, I will have no more than 6 drinks in 1 week.
You know, as we get to the beginning of the month in January, people talking about going back to gym, New Year's resolutions, things like that. You know, and I remember it was last year I got on a kick where I got rid of sugar and did the dry January, which actually turned into like a 6-month thing, 8-month thing. And then, you know, it kind of go back to old patterns.
And then you started working in the morning.
And then, but that, there's an actual correlation to the change, and it became very hard to go to the gym. Like the idea that, and I know everyone shares this, at 2 o'clock, you're exhausted after a day of getting up at 4 a.m. and the whole bit. But what's the key? What's the, in your world, unlocking motivation for me to actually say, you know, I want to do that again. Mm-hmm. I want to go through that again. I want to get in shape. I want to be Dave Bennett. I want to do it. What is the motivation? Or the key for me to do that, to take that step, to put me in that space?
Surrounding yourself with positive people who have similar goals in mind, and that you are feeding off positive energy from other people who are supporting you and cheering you on, and vice versa. And I've seen amazing things happen when groups of people get together and do something like that.
630 question. I assume it's a female because she says him. He is someone who needs to slow down with the drinking. How do I encourage him to do that?
Well, we can't change other people. We can only change ourselves.
Can't love people out of their bad habits.
And we cannot. We can't force them. So I think my suggestion would be to model positive behavior. And certainly if anybody thinks that somebody has a problem, I encourage them to just take an honest, direct approach and mention that you have concern. But you can't force anybody to change. They've got to do that on their own.
So if you model that now, if it's you're concerned about me because I'm drinking too much, you say what to me?
I say, Steve, I've noticed that you've been drinking a lot, and I'm concerned about how much you're drinking, and I'm wondering if you would want to slow down with me and try engaging in other kinds of behaviors or activities. Let's go bowling. Let's go see a movie, rather than...
Because that's not accusatory. That's I'm worried about you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that is the difference. 773, what about overeating? Different plan? If somebody wants to really cut back on food for January, I mean, it's just your... It's a dry January for food, right? Isn't it? This, you got to eat.
Well, you do have to eat, which is the difference, right? The alcohol, you can totally abstain. We need to have a relationship with food. And so a similar approach, because behavior changes are consistent across the board in the way that we make those changes. So providing a supportive environment, putting a meal plan in place, what does that look like? Oftentimes people get tripped up because they're in the moment and they don't know how to respond. So working with a professional is really helpful, some kind of coach.
I'm just thinking about that. January is a strange month to do dry January because you have a lot of sporting events. You have Super Bowl, things. I guess it is at the beginning of February. But
it
the concept
is now.
That you are seeing a big industry, alcohol is a big industry, mm-hmm. and they are pushing it in January. You're going to see 3, 4, 5, 6 different beer commercials every time you turn on your television. And I think about some of the things that are happening in our society, the legalization of marijuana. marijuana, where you're going to see the state of Illinois, possibly this year even, legalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. And with that, you will see an industry and a lobby and marketing and that. Do we have to start thinking about how we consume things, how we moderation, all those kind of things before marijuana turns into beer, where it's the same concept where every third commercial is going to be about it and they really want to hook you?
It's so triggering, and it's almost like we need to have blinders on and not be saturated. Media is such a strong presence and is so influential, and so people need to write down what their individual goal is and keep that in mind, because friends may try to tip them, marketing may try to tip them, but really having a solid core foundation is what's going to help.
Smoking may be the most addictive thing of all. Tobacco is a vicious addictive substance.
Harder to quit than heroin.
That's what I hear constantly. Mm-hmm. Science says that, right? Mm-hmm. That's not just us yakking here. Quitting smoking, is that something you could do a month at a time, or do you have to get Ray Liotta to come over with one of his
Chantix
packs?
Chantix is really helpful.
It is good,
it
right?
Is. Yeah. And you know, I think an important thing to say about this too is, you know, if somebody is truly addicted to alcohol, stopping is just abruptly is actually a really bad thing. You know, they would need a medical detox. So, Dry January isn't for everybody. So
if you're addicted to anything, don't feel badly that you can't stop immediately. Do it the smart way.
Absolutely. You know, cold turkey can sometimes be really rough, mm-hmm. and people have a tendency to fail when it's just completely cut off. So doing it with medical professionals is really important.
Sure.
One thing when we talked before you came on is you were talking about people living their best lives. Are you seeing a lot of people come to you with any problems of getting off their devices, taking a break digitally?
Yeah, my four kids. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till they go back to school on Monday. Yes. Yes,
because digital addiction.
It's absolutely. I think it's going to be in our diagnostic manual as a mental health disorder when it's updated, because there is a true addiction. And again, it's, let's monitor how we're using it. Put the phone in the drawer when you get home from work. Put parameters around it. Try not to check it first thing in the morning or falling asleep with it in your bed. All of this is about being mindful and present.
What is that about? Because part of the problem, in my opinion, is we have now accepted that it's okay to not make eye contact. Mm-hmm. If we've accepted that it's okay to look down while I'm talking to you, we've accepted that maybe I'm not as interesting to you as the text you're looking for right now. Don't we have to, as a society, say it's not okay?
Yeah. The people who are aware of it and the people who are trying to make those changes can be vocal. And as in a way, you're trying to educate those people, you know. And any time that I've said to somebody, do you mind putting your phone down? We're having mm-hmm. a conversation. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, I think
you break
people
them
just
out
aren't
of it.
Aware of it.
Yeah, that's good.
Unless they're a 14-year-old. That is not what they say. They do not say, I'm so sorry.
But
no,
you know, but
no.
You know what? It's easy for
they
us.
They give you that look. Like,
seriously? Seriously? It's easier for us to write this off as a millennial thing, which isn't fair, because there are a lot of millennials who are pretty good at not staring at their phone. And, you know, it's adults that are older than them.
Oh, yeah. You should. Everyone. We're constantly saturated with just over information, with commercials, with phones, with everything. So the takeaway, I hope, if nobody heard anything else this morning other than this, it's put an intention in place, whether it's cutting back on your phone usage, cutting back on your drinking, being more aware of the foods that you're putting in your body, putting an exercise routine in mind. Be gentle with yourself, but have a plan.
Right.
What does that look like? And usually I ask people to write it out hour by hour.
Yeah. Well, it's smart, man. Keep smart. Yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So coming soon, Renew.
Renew, yes.
In March. Mm-hmm. More on that in the days to come. And in the meantime, phone number again for you or website? Either?
Yeah, let's do, you know, I'm trying to monitor my cell phone usage as well. So let's do, people can email me directly from my website, www.KellyKitley.com.
Spell Kelly.
K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Spell Kitley.
K-I-T-L-E-Y.
Spell calm. No, I got that part. Great to see you. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
Let's go right to the headlines. And coming up, Troy Murray on those Blackhawks. They got a point last night. It's not enough, not fast enough.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Last night, I think most people know I'm a little nuts for the Hawks. And last night, maybe this is why I didn't sleep. I'm watching the game. And I'm thinking, Delia, getting it done. This kid is unbelievable. Yeah. This kid is all over the place. He's making himself big. He's stopping shots like you wouldn't believe. And they end up losing in overtime to the Islanders. Sure, they get a point, but they need 2 points, and they need 2 points fast, and they need 2 points a lot to get back in this playoff race, Dave. And he can't give up 50 shots. So I said, you know what I said? I said, here's the thing. You know who's going to talk me off the ledge? Troy Murray.
How do you do that?
Troy Murray will tell me why I don't have to worry.
Oh.
That everything's going to be okay.
Oh, so you're still on the ledge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Breakfast with the Blackhawks, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business. Troy Murray, one half of the greatest broadcast team in hockey. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning. Steve, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Why were you watching the game?
I was watching the game because I wasn't anywhere near my phone. No,
listening to the game.
How often do I text you during a game? You know, I listen to almost every game.
I know.
You know who else texts them during the game? Because I heard them talk. They gave David Hochberg a shout out. John and Troy last night.
Hochberg is texting
these
guys?
Yeah, during the game, they're like, yeah, David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage is listening to the game right now.
He does not miss a trick.
Yeah.
No, this is great. I love when people text me during the game and say they're listening in. I'd be more than happy to give everybody a shout-out. So all of you guys.
Anybody that's got Troy's number.
You know, driving around, we're listening to the broadcast, and we'll say hello and thanks for tuning in.
All right, so we'll give out your cell number before 10. But in the meantime, 50 shots, too many. You can't have 50 shots on the kid in goal. You can't have it for the old man Cam Ward. You can't have it.
No, you can't. And boy, Delia's been playing just unbelievable and gave the Blackhawks the opportunity to maybe get that extra point. Probably didn't deserve it overall in that game. But, they got to find a way to tighten it up, get some consistency in their own end of the ice. They didn't create a whole lot of opportunities at the other end either, which is a little bit concerning. They only had 3 shots on goal in the first period, and I think the final shots were 50 to 21 or something like that, and those aren't numbers that are conducive to having success. So they got to play a lot better on their own end of the ice, and also at the other end of the ice also they have to get more shots through and get more traffic at the net.
If you go with the theory that you need 95 points right around there to make the playoffs.
Let's not go there.
Well, they need 59 points in 39 games. This is an optimistic take, though, I'm telling you. Because 59 points in 39 games, it's totally doable.
It is. If you look at the big picture at the end and at the halfway point, with the Blackhawks just past the halfway point, they needed basically 60 points to get to the 96-95 level in the last 41 games. So theoretically, they got to win 30 of the last 41 games, 30-11. The little run that they went on prior to the Winter Classic game, that's the pace that they needed to do it. So it is doable. They just have to make sure that, they don't have games like this. They can't have any setbacks right now. And I know that's tough. And for a new coach to come in, still trying to get, some practice time in to make sure that his system is down pat. The guys had a day off today. The travel's been terrible the last little while. They head back to Pittsburgh tomorrow. And then finally get a little bit of stability in their schedule coming back on home ice. But each and every game, each and every point, as you mentioned, Steve, is so valuable to the Blackhawks right now. But looking at the big picture is not the best thing to do. Looking at each and every game as they come up is the way that they have to approach it.
Yeah, you've said before, you've told me this for years, it's not even win one game at a time. It's win one period, win one shift. And that's how things build.
They have to have that mentality. I mean, for so long there, they started off the game so poorly, and it was just like, okay, let's concentrate on having a good first period. Let's not put ourselves behind 2 or 3 goals early in the game. I think 7 games in a row now that they've scored the first goal. So they have done a lot of good things and stepped in the right direction as of late. And that's a real positive, but they got to finish off these games and they got to find a way to have that consistency.
Troy, what have you seen from Erik Gustafsson? Has he become really kind of an offensive weapon for this team, just the way he seems to have a knack for setting guys up?
Yeah, Dave, I think that, for Gustafsson, the offensive side of his game is limitless. He's got so much talent. He's got a great vision for the offensive side of it. He skates well. He's got a great shot. Where there's concern in his game is the defensive end of it, and that's the one thing that Jeremy keeps stressing to him. But there's a lot of trust. If you look at his minutes last night, played more minutes than any defenseman on the roster last night for the Blackhawks, and that's saying a lot about, you know, the trust that Jeremy Colliton has in his game. Played almost 24 minutes in that game last night, which is, you know, it's a high amount, but as long as he can show that he's going to be responsible in his own end of the ice, the upside is limitless, because he is just, he is a terrific offensive defenseman. And you know, he's put himself in a real nice position moving forward. That he's got a coach that really trusts in him, and he's got to respond in the right way to show the coach that he can play defensively.
Hey, Troy, it seems that to me that each and every time we have conversations about Blackhawks losses, it's because the shots on goal are just out of control. Like, there's too many shots for the opposition coming in on our side of the ice. But how do you fix that? How, from your vantage point, from being a former player and also a broadcaster, how does one shore up a defensive side of the ice?
You know, there's actually some pretty easy solutions to that, but it takes a lot of commitment. First and foremost, in the game against Boston, I talked about it in the third period after they killed a couple Bruins power plays, that, you know, get back to 5-on-5 and start exiting the zone cleanly. Well, they kept turning the puck over when they had full possession in their own end of the ice. Those are things that you can clean up pretty easily. Just have that mental focus that if you have possession of the puck, the worst thing you can do is get it out into the neutral zone. If you have a tape-to-tape pass that's 100%, you got to do that. If you can skate it out, obviously, you got to do that as well. But they haven't executed well in their own end of the ice, which gives the opposition team second and third chances. And in the game last night specifically, I looked at some of the small things that show up on the stat sheet, and I could notice them on the ice. The commitment for the forwards for the New York Islanders, and they've given up the fewest amount of goals in the NHL, and it was really easy to see why last night. Their commitment as the forwards group to block shots and take away the shooting lane was amazing, and it really forced the Blackhawks into option B every time that they got the puck back to the point. There was no shooting lanes. And on the flip side, I looked at the commitment for the Blackhawks forwards to block shots, and they weren't in the shooting lane, and there wasn't a commitment to sacrifice themselves to block shots, and that's a huge difference. And, you know, just blocking that shot out high doesn't allow the puck to get down to the front of the net where there's second and third opportunities because of traffic and rebounds. So there's got to be a better commitment in that area as well, and if you can do that, you can cut the shots way down.
We'll get to the MB Financial Bank question in just a second, but give me three quick takes, if you would, on Brandon Saad, Alex DeBrincat, and Brent Seabrook, who's got one of the craziest bad plus-minus numbers I've seen in a long time, which is the net number of goals scored or given up while you're on the ice. How are those three doing?
Well, I think for Brandon Saad, you're still looking for consistency on the offensive side of it. He's gone long stretches where he doesn't produce a whole lot offensively. Last little while, he was snake-bitten. He was getting some opportunities, and I know he was getting a little frustrated. There was a chance a couple of games ago, didn't score on an opportunity, slammed a stick on the boards as he was heading off the ice. You need consistency in his game. Alex DeBrincat, I love the guy. He's a feisty little guy. He works hard. He's playing on a third line role right now, or on a line not with Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews, so a little bit tougher in some areas to create those offensive opportunities with top offensive players, but he's a very dangerous player, and I love the way that he goes about his business. Brent Seabrook, you know, to be honest with you, he's struggling a little bit right now, and Jeremy Colliton has cut down his ice time. I think the last couple of games he's been, you know, his ice time is not where it's normally been in the past, but I think that he has to keep working on being consistent and having that quick feet. The game is so quick right now, and for Brent to be a big defenseman, 6'3", 220 pounds, you got to keep your feet in motion, and if he starts, you know, doing that on a consistent basis, you'll see his ice time move up again.
The MB Financial Bank question of the day comes from Catherine Hannah. Catherine, by the way, will get an autographed Chicago Blackhawks puck. Says, Troy, have you ever done a commercial, and did you believe in the product you were selling?
I did a hair restoration growth thing, and I didn't believe in it. it didn't work.
Yeah, that's why.
I don't want to mention the product, but it didn't work.
That's why I see Troy at our meetings.
I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but. You know, that was one where I was approached, and I kind of like the look that I have. It's easy maintenance. It takes me 2 seconds to get showered and dressed.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about a lot of things, and that was kind of funny. I was kind of, I don't think I'm interested.
Yeah, no, I get it. I've been offered a new head of hair, and I like it. I like it the way it is.
You're a handsome man. I like your look.
You know me, buddy, high and tight, just like you.
When I was selecting the question for today and I saw that question, I thought, is Troy going to give us an honest answer or is he going to give us like a company line answer? No. I appreciate that we got a real answer there.
Well, that's kind of an easy one, Mary, when you look at the situation. You know, I'm not Andy Olchek. I'm on radio. They throw the old bald guy on radio and put the good looking guy on TV.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and Dave says he's on radio. Eddie, by the way, is contractually obligated to have hair. I don't know if you know that he has to have hair. So that's a contract thing. Great talking to you, buddy. Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
I'm going to text Troy right now.
Yeah, you should go. Yeah. What are you talking about?
No.
Shot at me? It's the great Troy Murray. Once again, thanks to Hilton's of Chicago, dibs.com, if I didn't mention that earlier. And you know what I have to give away? We gave away the puck from our friends at MB Financial Bank. You know what I have to give away?
I know what you've got to give away.
So do I if I read this. Yeah. A family four-pack of tickets to the 15th annual Lake Holman Cabin Show. It's January 11th through the 13th at Schaumburg Convention Center. A one-stop event of answers and great ideas. If you already own a second home or thinking about buying one, LakeHolmanCabinShow.com.
And you know what, Steve? If you want to ask one of our Blackhawks players or alumni or broadcast team a question, you can go to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit your question to win a puck that's signed. And you get your question read.
There you go.
And you get a good answer, like Troy Murray saying hair product didn't work for him.
Hair product didn't work. That's exactly right. all right, you want those Lake Home and Cabin show tickets?
Yes.
Be the seventh caller. At 312-981-7200, and you can have them.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
$9.57, if you're traveling, a tip for you or two in just a second. Bill and Wendy are here, and I got a gallery up of what?
Mary Vandeveld's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Thank you. Her birthday's tomorrow, but it kick it off since we don't have a show tomorrow.
I retract my happy birthday.
No, it starts now.
You can call me at midnight.
We're having a party at Soldier Field tomorrow for her.
Oh, you are?
Because it's tied up.
Excellent.
That's super nice of you.
There's a picture of her and her cupcakes at WGNRadio.com, Steve Cochran Show, Facebook, and Twitter.
And that cake was the most phenomenal cupcake.
Isn't that unbelievable?
I've ever had.
Yeah, really?
So good, Mary.
Plus, Sandberg makes these thin chocolate chip cookies. Because they're so thin. And
too, yeah.
You can have 200 of them.
Yeah.
And those are crazy good, too. You know, you could end wars with those.
Had two batters.
You need to open up a bake shop.
Yeah. That's how good this was. Two different batters.
Yeah.
Two batters make it better.
Yeah. One of the batters, they call it the goo.
Okay.
That's the goo
now
part.
I want
That's
more.
The part that made it crunchy on the top. That's the part you like that you ate
I
off.
I love the goo.
The goo. Is
was
good.
There some sugar in there? Because Grzanich is like wired in here, man. Holy cow.
Let me ask you something. When Grzanich is wired, how do you tell?
There is sugar, yeah. But there's also, I did bring cookies, too.
He wants to race people in the hallway.
Okay, well, that would be wired. Yeah. Ryan Burrow, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, coming up on WGN Radio. There's a bunch of urine lists for 2018 that are still floating around.
I thought you said urine.
I did, too.
No, that's
is that part
read
of the
that list. I'm curious about that list.
You guys are stuck on the Uranus joke I did at 8:20.
Yeah, that went over
that
really
was enjoyable.
Well.
Did you hear the Uranus joke?
I thought that was beautiful.
I'm disclaiming everything.
Only because of the disclaimer.
Yeah.
If he didn't go,
I would have been offended without the disclaimer, but I enjoyed it after the disclaimer.
I'm thinking about doing it in stand up now where I just do a disclaimer before every punchline. See how long the set becomes. There's a list of things that TSA found in 2018. I don't. Maybe you guys did this on your show. I didn't see this. It's a fake bomb that is two red sticks that sort of look like dynamite with a cardboard clock and wires wrapped around it.
Oh.
Connected to an old, it looks like a Sears reel-to-reel tape machine. Now, it's clear it's not a real bomb.
Right.
But why?
Why travel with
why
it?
Why would you travel with it?
It's a comic. He's just trying new bits. Trying new stuff. Yeah. I like it.
The security at O'Hare closed for 19 minutes.
Oh my gosh! That would
because
make me
of
so
this
angry.
Hilarious comedy.
Oh.
Didn't think that went through, or maybe they did.
Well done, well done. The rest of them are all explosive devices as well. If you want to get the list, what are you guys doing?
We're going to race Steve Grzanich in the hallway. He challenged us.
Listen, normally I'd say, normally I'd bet on you. I don't like your
Not
chances
today.
Powered by Sandberg Sugar.
I know.
Dave, you got big plans for the weekend?
Well, let's see. We will be broadcasting a basketball game on Sunday from
you should go to that.
The new Welsh Ryan Arena. I'm going to go the Wildcats and the Fighting Illini.
And then?
At noon.
You've been working so hard, Dave.
It's been
all
great.
Over the country.
So
wait, he's just on one sport now. He's not even doing two sports anymore. Now we're just
it's
on
like
basketball.
A part-time gig.
Yeah.
Lazy.
All right, I complimented him. You guys did not.
Yeah, we don't have and to. Wendy, I appreciate it.
All right.
Bears.
That's your whole weekend? Bears? Yeah.
I'm ready for the Bears.
Ross Cochran and I are going to go watch the Bears game with my mother.
That'll be nice.
My mother loves football, and nobody watches the game with her.
Oh.
I hope you're feeling better. I know you got that PBJ thing. I hope you're doing better.
I remember when you got out of med school.
Do you remember why?
Yeah,
that's why.
Because you shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
Sandberg, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. I'm just around.
Okay, good luck
baking.
With that.
Yeah.
Grzanich should still be running around the halls, and it's Mary's birthday.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Tomorrow, yes.
Bill and Wendy on now.